Proper Sport at 6. You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
yes!
win!
Yes!
Curry's over the line. No, he isn't.
It's not
he's
close.
Lost the ball.
It's off. He's gone.
Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Good evening and welcome along. It's 2 hours live Rugby League debate here on Radio Yorkshire, home of Rugby League on the radio. St Helens are going to sneak in. Surely now that fourth place spot is theirs. Are they going to join Castleford, Leeds and Hull in the semi-finals? Or will Wigan and Wakefield get the chance to gatecrash later in the weekend? We'll look back in another huge week of the Castleford Tigers put the boot in on Wigan's hopes as Liam Finn's missed drop goal in the last seconds at Hull sealed Wakefield's fate. What about in the Championship, the qualifiers? Warrington, Hulkingston Rovers, and who will join them? Will it be Catalan or Widnes? They meet each other in the south of France this weekend to decide who will be the next club to secure its Super League survival and who will be left to join Lee in the £1 million game. London's challenge coming up just short. Jake Truman, the new name off the production line of British halfbacks. This guy thinks he's the real deal. Do you agree? Did you see him in action yesterday? And is it a season of failure for the Wigan Warriors? Got to the Challenge Cup final, but no silverware for them. What about John Wilkin getting booed off by his own fans? Have they all been listening to Gary Schofield, who last week said about Scott Griggs, "You're only as good as your last game." Well, Scoey is only as good as his last prediction. He told us that Featherstone would beat Warrington by 10. They lost by 68. Sadly, it's not his worst prediction of the season. Is it time to bring in performance-enhancing drugs for our pundits? We'll find out. You know the drill by now. At RL on RY via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. It's Mark, Rich and Gary with you through until 8.
Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8pm. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.
Welcome along. We're going to be discussing plenty, including Tony Smith's comments about the state of rugby league. We'll get along to that in a moment. No Phil Kaplan this weekend. I'm not sure why he's not here. I think he's had a better offer this evening. But the legend is here, sadly. Thankfully. And hiya, Gary. You all right?
Very well. Very well indeed. I am indeed. Apart from, I'm getting a little bit of stick, obviously. We're predicting that Featherstone would beat, Warrington by 10. Had some a little bit of inside information that Warrington were doing a little bit of celebration, that they'd secured their Super League status with that win last week. But how wrong can you be? A long week in sport and a long week
in
rugby league.
Well, sadly, though, Gary, it's not even your worst prediction of the season. You were 79 wrong when Hull got beat by St Helens earlier in the season. 78 wrong this weekend. I mean, that is some going, even for a man of your dire ability. I mean, that to get it that wrong, Gary, come on.
Richard, you all right? How are you, son? You okay?
Well, for a Monday night, season's over now.
Have you cancelled the top four bus, Rich?
Top four bus is back in for servicing, sadly, yeah. But it's always next year. That's what the Warrington fans tell me.
It's always next year. I think we're having a few... we're not quite live on Facebook yet, are we? So if you're listening along on radioyorkshire.co.uk, good for you. Or on DAB, of course. Fantastic performance by Castleford. I've got to be honest, boys, I wrote Cass off. I thought they won't go there and win. I thought they had a few too many injuries, but Darryl Powell fielded a pretty strong team, Scoey, but included a young halfback on his full Super League debut. He got about 10 minutes against Saints earlier in the season. Jake Truman, a hat-trick in the first half. Not a bad way to introduce yourself, is it?
Oh, mate, I'll tell you what, one thing for sure here, when I was over there yesterday and, people were saying to me this, it was Aaron Barrow as well, to be honest with you, because Aaron, like yourself, a Bradford Bulls fan, and he's come from the academy, and he was saying, hey, let's just go with this kid can play, and I thought to myself, well, if anybody can get the best out of him, if anybody can give him the confidence of to go to the DW on his debut in front of, 15,500 fans, it's a coach of Darryl Powell and the coaching staff there, wasn't it? And when I looked at the Castleford team, I thought, hey, I tell you what, this isn't a bad side. Max Shane, who's played number seven all his career from an amateur from there. We all know now he's been a number nine for the last 4 or 5 years from there. So he's got the experience playing from there. Plus as well, the forward pack and then Millington coming back. And also as well, he had his best game of the season this year for me, Big Jesse. He was absolutely outstanding. He put his hand up saying, hey, listen, I'm taking on this challenge here this afternoon. But this young kid, Jake Truman, well, it only took me only 40 minutes to convince myself this young kid is ready. And what I want to do here, I want to praise the coaching and the man management of Darryl Powell, and I want to praise the senior players at Casford Tigers for putting the trust in this young halfback, because what I was seeing out there, certainly for the first 40 minutes, the confidence what this young kid has got, and also he got it from his coach, Darryl Powell, because I would imagine Darryl said to me, listen, you're out there, you play without vision and awareness, I'm trusting you to get these guys around the park, but also as well, the senior players trust you and they're confident in you to get them round there. And the confidence this young kid showed and the respect the senior players showed this young kid just tells me how good this youngster is. And for 40 minutes, he controlled it brilliantly. His kicking game, his organisation, his communication, not just scoring the three tries, his third try... Boy, oh boy, he was on the last tackle, and everybody knows nowadays with the predictability that it's going to be a kick. Oh, no. He saw a little bit of a gap, and I'll tell you what, the footwork he put on Sam Tompkins to get the hat-trick was sheer brilliance. And Jake Truman, for me, yeah, OK, we know Luke Gale's there and being the thing, and Roberts, but this young kid, and the great thing for him is... And I just want to say this to all Super League coaches out there. No, not just Super League coaches. I want to say it to all coaches. Listen, we have got quality young kids who want an opportunity. Give them that opportunity. Listen to what Darryl Powell does. Watch what Darryl Powell does from a point of view, not just his coaching, but his man management. He puts the trust in his players. Watch some of that. These young kids only want an opportunity. They only want an opportunity, what they've done all their amateur careers from there. And I'll tell you what, they'll grab it with both hands. And what this young kid yesterday grabbed it with both hands, but the coach and the senior players trusted him. So young Truman, I'll tell you what, he's ready for the big time. He is the real deal.
The old adage, if you're good enough, you're old enough.
Absolutely.
Legend, you're always saying these young boys need a go. They're getting a go. And, unbelievable. That's Rich, you know, you were in the studio following the game. It is a fairy tale story, isn't it, for this young boy?
It was a perfect day for him, perfect day for headline writers of the League Express and other newspapers who could just put the Truman Show on and not have to think about a hilarious headline to write. And I think the great thing about the game was listening back here in the studio. Castleman had their end-of-season awards due on the Saturday night, didn't they? And obviously the players all behaved because they go out there into a 20-point lead going into half-time. I think Scotty jinxed them, didn't he, halfway through the second half, talking about a potential nilling of the Wigan Warriors. But three times Castle beaten Wigan now this season, twice at the DW Stadium, and you'd have to think... It could have been tempting to rest a lot of players ahead of yesterday's game, but Wigan are still the champions. Wigan are the benchmark in many people's eyes.
They've
beaten them three times.
The intriguing thing is, and I think we are we live now on Facebook? We are live. Hello. Say hello to the... We're on there, Scotty. Say hello. So people have missed...
Very well, yes.
..the legend talking about Jake Truman. The interesting thing is, Cass have kicked Wigan out of the top four, but they might let him back in if they beat Hull this week. Legend, do you think? What do you think will be going through the mind of Castleford, Darryl Powell? Will he be resting a few?
No, I don't know.
For the weekend?
No, I don't think he will.
Last weekend before the semi-finals?
No, he said it from, when they won the League Leaders' Shield and they had a celebration, then a few days celebrating from there. But then they got back to work. It took them, it took them away for a few days, a bit of bonding, a bit of fun, but also to a lot of professionalism from there. So, no, Darryl won't be taking the game lightly. He won't be resting players. The players won't want to be rested, Mark. They want to be going in with plenty of confidence, a combination again. But just reading what Darryl said about this young kid in Truman as well, you can see that he's going to have this level of his game mapped out not too far down the track. This is how highly this young kid is rated. And do you know what as well? What would have pleased Darryl was, And I say he handled the pressure, because it was a big pressure game yesterday, but the young kid handled the pressure. So if Luke Gayle doesn't make it, we all know with Luke he's had the appendix operation, which is very, very much touch and go, maybe for the semi-final. I tell you what, Dallow won't have too many worries putting this young kid in, I'm telling you, because Dallow Power's a little bit like myself, a little bit Andy Gregory and Sean Edwards and Lee Crooks and Joe Lydon. He got the taste of first team football at 18, 19 years of age, so he knows what it's all about. Darryl Powell, as a young kid, believed in his own ability. Now Darryl Powell, as a coach, believes in the ability of this youngster, and he will not let Darryl down. Darryl's put the trust in. The senior players respect this young kid. And I'll tell you, what I saw yesterday of this young kid, he is the real deal. And I say, the great thing for him is, he's got a coach who's been a halfback. He's got assistant coaches who have been halfbacks, and this young kid will get every opportunity what he deserves. So every coach is out there now. If you've got quality halfbacks, we know what St. Helens have got there in Ian Richardson. What have I said about Jordan Early 2 years ago when he was just bossing the players around against New Zealand, and we've seen what's happened to him? Trust these players. Give them the opportunity. Simple as that, because they will do the job for you. Just give him that opportunity. And all this rubbish, it's too early for them. We've got to rest him after 4 or 5 games because of the physicality and also to being full-time from there. It's an absolute load of tosh. They're 18, 19 years of age. They can run around forever. They've got senior players who can look after them. I tell you, Jesse yesterday was literally all over the place protecting this kid. That's what the forwards do. It's going back to the old days. Hey, listen, don't be bullying this young kid. Come and pick on me. That's what it's all about. And I tell you,
who was your protector?
Lee Crooks and Steve Norton. Yeah,
well, Crooks is not that much older than you, is he?
No, but yeah, but he's been playing for 2 years, senior. He's been playing. Crooks, he was snapping against Yozin at 19, wasn't he? I wouldn't advise that, to be honest with you. But he was a back row and a tough kid. But yeah, and Steve Norton. But this kid, he'll get the protection what he deserves. He's got the respect of the senior players. So what I'm saying to all you coaches is, whether he's Super League, the Championship, or the First Division, give these kids the opportunities and give them the trust, because they can do the job, they can do the business. Honestly, they can.
Can't argue.
I'm sick and tired. I tell you, I get sick and tired of people saying they're too young. They can't do it week in and week out. Yes, they can. They just want that opportunity. Put a bit of trust in them, a bit of confidence. Let them go out there and express themselves. And I'll tell you, you'll get the results. Simple as that. You know, don't you?
There's no Phil Kaplan tonight. I'm worried in the opening 16 minutes, you've gone. That's it. You've gone.
No, there's plenty of going about.
I'll tell you what you'd be interested in. And you'll better hear it on Radio Yorkshire the next couple of days. Well, next day. Leeds are playing at Burnley tomorrow in the football. I went to speak to Stuart Dallas today. He said, I want to play in every minute of every game. Well, I don't want to be sat on the sideline. Mark, I don't want to be rested. Mark, I want to play.
Mark, it's every sportsman will tell you that. Whether you play rugby league, rugby union, cricket, darts, football, whatever you play, you want to play in every minute. That's what you train for, don't you? That's what you train for. It's ridiculous when... Because, do you know what the emphasis now on sport, what is absolutely ridiculous... All this sports science tosh and rehabilitation, ice baths and all this sort of rubbish. Do me a favour. Well, honestly, all this sports science about chicken and pasta and all sorts of things doesn't make you tackle any better, doesn't make you run harder any better, doesn't make you play with vision and awareness any better.
Might make you better do it for longer, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, but it doesn't make any better. Absolute load of tosh, all this sports science and whatever. If they've got the ability to play... Playing as many minutes as what they want to do, because you know as well as I do, you're an ex-sportsman yourself. Richie, you put a pair of boots in your life as well from there. You just want to go out there and
Phil
play.
Phil's cup finalist. Yeah,
you just want to go out there and
loser,
play. You know,
In fact, he's like you. He's Richard. He loses in the big games. Whitfield School's Cup final. Yeah,
that's a bit harsh.
Unlike Keith Seaton, I've still got my medal. I've not flogged it on either.
Hey, listen, when I was an amateur, we won everything. Don't worry about that. We were the best side around. I can reassure you from there. The professional game might be a little bit better, but as we all know, Wigan won it all from there. But what I'm saying is here now, you know, there's plenty of talent we've got. We've got loads of talent. Get them out there and let them play. Simple as that.
Exactly. Right, we've got loads of social media coming in. But before we do that, we've got a bit of a giveaway for the listener at home. Radio Yorkshire's teamed up with the official Betfred Super League partners, Bachelor's Mushy Peas, to offer one lucky rugby league fan four tickets to one of this year's playoff semi-finals. A huge hit with fans of the sport. Bachelor's Mushy Peas are the perfect accompaniment for match day meals and a great way to get one of your five a day. Although I wouldn't recommend it with your Casey's Fish and Chip Challenge. I think it's a little bit too much, but there you go. And as the UK's favourite canned peas brand, Bachelor's produces top quality marrow fat, mushy and garden peas and has been a tea time family favourite for decades. The winner will receive four standard tickets to Castleford Tigers playoff semi-final fixture on Thursday the 28th of September to find out more about the UK's favourite canned peas brand and official partner to the Betfred Super League. Head to bachelorspeas.co.uk. All you need to do to have a chance to win, all you need to do, right, is get in touch with the show, tweet us, message us, on send us a Facebook message, whatever. If you're listening on the podcast, send us a tweet. We'll announce the winners next Monday night. We'll announce the winners on Monday. That's for a game a week on Thursday. The Cast Tigers, four tickets. That's not bad. 80 quid's worth or whatever, maybe a bit more. Mm. Worth winning. You like your peas, don't you, Scotty?
I do indeed. Yeah. Yes, I like fish
and
chips.
Are you a peas man, Rich?
I'm afraid not, but I wholly endorse Bachelors as the best.
Of course you do. If you did, yes, Bachelors is the brand for you.
I've happily had those free vouchers in the Rugby League programmes this season, gone down to my local shop and got the peas with them.
What do you do with them then if you don't
like
them?
Put them in the cupboard. Someone else in the house will eat them.
So if North Korea press the button and there's a shortage of food, Rich has got a cupboard full of Bachelor's mushy peas.
What do you think he does with Bachelor's mushy peas? He eats them. What do you think he does
like
with them?
He just said he don't like them.
Oh, we can give them to me tonight then when I drop you off then. I like them.
I'll give you some vouchers. I've got loads of them.
Social media.
Peas on toast. It's an absolute...
peas on toast?
Peas on toast in Belisle. It's absolute... beautiful. Peas on toast.
Peas on toast?
Peas on toast. Sensational. Lovely.
Let's move on. What's happening?
Many and various. Well, Andrew's actually just asked a question. What was Scully's favourite pre-match meal? Obviously, it can't be chicken and pasta.
Beans on toast.
Peas on toast. Yeah,
Saturday night, it was spaghetti bolognese at 6 o'clock. I can remember in the olden days, the old omnibus, the omnibus edition of Brookside. Brookside was on the old omnibus edition from 5 o'clock till 6:30. I'd have my spaghetti bolognese at 6, and then I'd be in bed for 6:30, you know, just put the telly in the spare room because I was getting built for a game, and then in the morning it was beans on toast at 10 o'clock. That was my pre-match.
Very good indeed. What were your pre-match ritual? Rich?
Don't think I had one. Hope I get picked.
By the way,
on the bench,
we must pay a tribute to one of your former teammates who sadly passed away this week, and a man that really your career had a big... intertwined with his career, because obviously one of your biggest disappointments was probably one of his greatest moments.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, very sad. Steve Evans had passed away on Friday, 59 years of age. And yeah, great bloke, Steve. Very, very stylish centre. Very quick, brilliant sidestep on him. And sadly passed away on Friday. And yeah, and the respect what me and Steve had for each other was there. There was no bitterness. Even when I signed for Hull at 18 years of age and I took Steve's position at the centre, Steve went out on the wing and he played outside me from there. And I say we had a good combination on the right hand side. And then yeah, Steve took my place at the Wembley final in 1985. And I say there was no animosity between the pair of us. It was that mutual respect as rugby league players. And we became good mates off the field. And Ollie saw Steve a couple of weeks ago at Headingley, looked in fine form, fine fettle, but unfortunately, you know, I don't really, they're saying a seizure of something, whether it's been a heart attack or something else, but very bad, sad news for the Evans family, for the Rugby League family as well. And 59 years of age, plenty of life left in the bloke as well. And you know, representing Featherstone, record signing for Hull, Great Britain under 24s, and as I say, for Great Britain as well at national level, scored the only try against the Kangaroos in 1982 when the Invincibles came over. So no, very, very shocked and sad when I heard the news Saturday morning, and all my thoughts are with the Evans family. Be a sad loss.
Yeah, indeed. Completely agree. I tell you, I'm not happy with this camera angle. I'm having to breathe in. It's hard for 2 hours, you know, Scott. I know you try it all the time.
But to be honest with you, why don't you just move away from the table there? But I must say, mate, as well, where you got that T-shirt from? Is that one of them from the market, 3 for 50p?
Primarni, what's up with it?
3 for 50, it's an absolute shocker.
I'll tell you what you could do with a T-shirt, because it looks like someone's nicked your shirt. You've just got a blue jumper on.
Well, it's autumn now, it's a little bit damp out there, but listen, mate, that T-shirt, it's an absolute shocker. Is it one of them for 3 for 50p?
Might have been 3 for a tenner. What are you picking on me for anyway? Just because you got your Featherstone joke wrong. I want to ask you anyway. We'll get through some social media. I want to ask you about Featherstone. What's going on, Richard?
Oh, it's all going on. It's all
come on
going
then.
As ever.
Tears off.
Well, people have been asking us. A couple have been asking us about, as we're talking about Castleford there with Jake Truelove.
Truman.
Truman, sorry. I'm getting confused with that. Three people will remember George Truelove, who played about five games for Wakefield and scored a try at Headingley once. But no one else will remember him. Mark and Alex have had, do you reckon that Powell had to give a team talk after what Sean Wayne and Sam Tompkins said before the match? I missed all this. I don't know why I missed all this, but Sam Tompkins apparently saying he was quoted as saying he heard an interview with Michael Shenton. I think it was him saying they've changed the way rugby league has been played. Oh, he was quoted as saying that. And they're not doing that. They're playing well, but they're playing similar shapes to what every team plays. In 2010, when we started doing block plays, we were running different shapes, which people hadn't seen before. But all teams now run very similar setups, and whichever runs it best comes up with the goods. That was Sam Tompkins ahead of Wigan versus Castleford this week, in which Castleford, who've only lost four games in Super League this season and are now 12 points clear at the top of the table, but still Sam will be in the England squad, so it'll be all OK.
What do you reckon?
No, Castleford play a different game to everybody. It's there to see, isn't it?
They haven't reinvented the wheel, though, have they?
No, they haven't. No. They haven't.
But why don't everyone else do it, then? Serious, it's a serious question.
Well, hey, listen.
We've seen Wakefield do it at times. We know they can all do it.
Well, you know what? And I said it before. And you know, my mate Sean Wayne doesn't speak to me anymore because, and I say last year with that performance against Warrington, you know, and I said I'm going to repeat exactly what I said. You know, against Warrington at Halliwell Jones, you know, they was getting beat from there, and then it was plan A, and. And what did Wigan do with the players? They took responsibility saying, well, we're not doing this plan A anymore, we're going to go to plan B. Boy, oh boy, how good were they? Four tries in the last 16 minutes, burned Warrington away and got themselves to the grand final. And against Castleford yesterday, at times, it was just one out rugby. But then when Wigan decide to move the ball, they're pretty impressive. But they just don't do it enough. They don't. And he's going back to 2010, Sam there, going back there with the Maguire situation. Well, everybody just tried copying Wigan by playing block. Block. Don't copy anybody. Just don't. Daniel Powell doesn't copy anybody.
Everyone thinks they know what Castleford are going to do. But we saw the other day, it's all Luke Gayle. We saw Ben Roberts the other week, destroyed Leeds.
Well, listen,
didn't he?
I said it after the St Helens game. Is that 5-6 weeks ago now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. St Helens, they blocked that left hand side. Hull did it very well in the Challenge Cup at the KCOM. They blocked it out the left hand side. So I said after the game, you watch. This will just show you how smart a coach Daniel Powell is. He'll come with some variation now. Benny Roberts needs to be more involved on the right-hand side. Exactly what he's done. Luke Gayle now, his involvement in his game is already required when he wants to be involved from there. So there's a lot of variation now to the Castleford game. Max Shane takes pressure off around the ruck area. Millington's playing like an old-fashioned loose forward, so there's four variations of their attack play. You tell me then which side in Super League, apart from Cass, are four variations of attacking players. Cass have Max Shane, Gayle, Roberts and Millington, and now the new kid on the block, Ian Truman. Nobody else does it like Castleford do it.
Richard.
It's very busy on social
media.
Let's
get through it then. Graham. Remember, four tickets to give away. If you get in touch, send us a message at RLNRY.
First, hello to Keith, who's watching via Facebook. Loves to show you that he lives in Kent and has never been near the M62 in his life. Must have been indoctrinated by Kent Invicta.
Don't come up the M62. It's awful. It's an awful
drive.
It's an awful drive.
Don't come to the north.
Stay down there, mate. It's an awful drive.
I like how Keith says he's enjoying the show, even though he lives in Kent. Yeah. You can still enjoy it wherever you're listening.
Hey, actually, we were down in Kent last week working, and I say we were working in this warehouse with my mate Steve from there, and a guy came up and says, oh, you're that rugby player, aren't you? So signing from you. Okay. So even the legend got recognised in a warehouse down in Kent. In Kent itself, believe it or not.
There are so many answers to that statement.
So I signed him and sent him a photograph. Yeah, Roy in Kent, if you're listening, the photograph is on the way to you. It is indeed.
There you is... love signing photos. Of course I do. You're obsessed with it, aren't you?
No. People are respectful. You know what my father, my late father, always said? Listen, if anybody wants to show you respect, they want an autograph, you make sure you sign autographs. And that's exactly what they're good. Brought a ball in for one of our listeners here today as well.
Is it Daniel? Daniel, your ball is on its way.
Tell him the ball's on the way. Daniel, the ball's on the way. I apologise because, to be honest with you, Mark Wilson mentioned it to me last week and I forgot that. I said to Richard Shaw, right, yeah, I'll donate a ball from there. But anyway, Daniel, the ball's here. It will be sent out. Will be second-class pause, but anyway, it'll get to you eventually.
The good news is...
We're just waiting for the pigeon to get back.
People on Facebook are doing the jokes we can't do on air, so well done for that. Elsewhere, we've had a question from Graham. He's talking about your column in today's Rugby League Express. How come no Leeds players in your dream team? In second spot, not even Matt Parcell in there. Why not?
Well, do any of these players deserve to be?
The question is then, Greg, who should be in? That's the question, isn't
from
it?
From Leeds?
Yeah, who should be in?
Who should be in?
Let's, for those people at home who haven't read your article in the League Express,
I'm surprised. There'll be many thousands out there who've read it. But first of all, as well, I just want to, because I was up in Cumbria on Friday night, I just want to say to everybody up in Cumbria who showed the respect to the late, great Jimmy Dalton, to be honest with you. Jimmy was inducted into the Hall of Fame on Friday night. Great turnout from all the players at Hengistown, the players he played with at Whitehaven, from the directors, all his family, and also to the friends who was there. Great turnout for Jimmy, and then also as well, great win for Whitehaven. Big derby against Workington, 56-6. Whitehaven have got themselves into the semi-finals and maybe getting promotion. So all round at this moment in time for Whitehaven Rugby League Club, it's looking pretty good.
Very good, very good. I'm glad they're in the script for this show, because if there was, you would be incapable of following it. We were talking about your column in the League Express.
It's just how I played the game.
It is, exactly. Zach Hardacre at fullback, Mahe Fanua on the wing, Michael Shenton, Oliver Gildart, Greg Eden in the back line, Ben Robertson, Luke Gale at halfback, Alex Wormsley, Paul McShane, Scott Taylor, Matty Ashurst, Mike McMeekin and Grant Millington in the forwards, and the coach Darrell Powell. So that's your selection.
Great dream team, that.
Not bad.
Who would you pick then? Who would you change? Who would you change in that side?
Well, Richard and I were lucky enough to nominate who we thought for our...
Yeah, why don't I get a nomination?
Well, because, to be honest, your prediction skills are that rubbish that I think the RFL want to try and get it right.
Where are you in the predictor this year?
Below you.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I'll be quiet.
I keep forgetting to send my entries.
I think Mr. Wilson, Mr. Shaw, right, you two better be quiet on the predictor, because I think I'm in the top five. So I think you better be quiet, you two.
Can you beat 79 or 78 on the prediction wrong?
I said London by two, but, you know, I don't know.
You mean they lost by what, 20 odd?
Yeah, so it wasn't
not by
bad,
68.
I did have a few sherbets on Friday night at Whitehaven, so that's my excuse.
Yeah, but you did your selections on Wednesday.
Yeah, but still, it's still my excuse.
Richard and I picked our dream team. I think it's fair to say, pretty much those 13 were on our list at varying. Yeah. We had to pick three for each position, but I can confirm all those 13 were on our list. Mm. I would love to know who Graham thinks should be.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we voted Parcell got a vote from us, yeah, but not first pick. I'm not sure who else. Cuthbertson maybe got a nomination. No, I don't think he did.
Moon, did we put John Moon in there? I can't remember.
Maybe. Yeah, so.
But the thing is, John Moon's not going to get in ahead of, you know, whoever else. It's a tricky one.
So who? Well, let's find out. Who did they pick? Yeah. You can. You've got plenty of room on Facebook, on Twitter. Let us know who you've picked. It'll be announced on Monday next week. Richard will be there. Yeah. So all good. Lots of cast in there. Oliver Gildart, he got a pick from us as well. He's a fine young talent, isn't he? And hopefully. He'll kick on next season.
I tell you
season.
What, because with you Gildart, they're on about him playing for Italy in the World Cup. Oh, boy, it's a position where...
Well, who plays in the centres for England, then?
Well, the four centres should be Shenton, Watkins, that will get selected, Gildart and Percival. They should be the centres for England. I can't understand why Gildart's not being mentioned for England. Italy, do me a favour. Okay. It's good enough for England.
Right, let's get through some more social media.
Well, Keith did actually go to Kenton Victor's first game.
Did he?
Yeah, back in
1983. Keith's a rugby league historian.
So there's proof that expansionism works, because Keith... They should be in Super League or the Championship. Like Bradford were, because that one fan who went to Hull KR.
Yeah.
Kenton Victor for the Championship. The campaign starts here.
Mm.
If it if Kent still exists, I don't know. Where can they play, Keith? Let us know. Elsewhere, in less serious or more serious matters, Simon says, since I've got it here, serious question for Scoey: how does a side get themselves up to the same standard as the first half for the second half when they have convincingly destroyed a team in the first 40? It's our, as in Casa's, only bad point for me. Must be hard after it's been so easy. But it's a point that could bite us because they dropped off against Leeds the week before and Wigan this week.
Yeah, it is. And I say it from a coach's point of view. He would have quite easily just said, hey, listen, the same again, lads. We don't need to change anything. You know, from a game point of view, tactically, defensive-wise, they don't change anything. But you'll always get a reaction from the opposition, won't you? Because they would have got a roasting, you know, certainly whichever coach it was, and certainly from Sean yesterday. And I'll just take you back to 92 when we played Australia Melbourne and we were, 22-0 up at half-time, and the simple words from Mal really was, same again, lads, and that was it, you know. So nothing needs to change. But the opposition, they will come out with a lot more enthusiasm, a lot more desire than what they showed in the first 40 minutes. But what you got to do, you got to weather the storm. You know, Casper in the second half, they didn't have a lot of ball, but then when they got the opportunities, great play, great pass from Webster out to Minikin on the wing. Shenny took his chance well. And again, Young Truman, when it was necessary, he took in charge with a kicking game from there. So it is a little bit difficult, but like I said, you don't change anything, but you're going to get a reaction from the opposition because the coach would have laid into him. They wanted the reaction, and the Wigan coach got a reaction, but overall, it quite simply wasn't good enough.
OK, good stuff. Could you hear him shouting, Sean Wayne, up in the press box?
Well, you know what he stands from there, and we looked up a few times, me and Matt, and you could see literally the furious with his finger pointing, and Steve McCormack, you could see the steam coming out of his ears on the walkie-talkie or whatever they have nowadays down on the bench from there. And he was never off it. And I think Sean has said the first 40 minutes quite simply wasn't good enough the way that he wants his players to play.
When you were coach, did you operate a walkie-talkie method? Were you up in the stand or were you down at pitch side?
Yeah, I was in the stand, yeah. But to be honest, I wanted to be on the sidelines, but it was a matter of, well, this is what coaches do, so you've got to do. You know, I wanted the voice to be heard.
This is what I've seen him do on the telly.
No. It was just what everybody had to do, unfortunately, from there. But no, I would have preferred to be down on the sidelines. And I say, with the players what I had, they would have got ripped into. But anyway, that's another story, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. I think is there a slight issue with the sound?
No, I think it's just because I'm quiet. Because if you're watching on Facebook, the microphone's over there.
Yeah, we're having a few technical issues this evening. So we're all right on the radio, but yeah, we our thing is over there.
Turn
so
your computer's off.
Furthest away.
Hello!
So he'll have to shout.
Can you hear me, mother? That kind of thing. one for the teenagers there. Elsewhere, Gallant Youth tweeted us earlier today, talking about the format for the future of Rugby League. We heard from Nigel Wood last week that it's staying as it is, we think. Bigger clubs and expansion can't run their clubs properly. Pushing for franchising in 2019, says Gallant Youth. Part-time and championship clubs should start planning a breakaway league now and a separate TV deal. Enough is enough.
Mm.
I think the sad reality is, and we have to go back to this again, crowd figures in the second, stroke third tier of rugby league in this country won't justify to any TV provider worth its salt a TV deal, because the perception is the interest isn't there, whether it is or not.
Did you? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you laugh when you saw the crowd in the
In Philadelphia
the weekend? Did you laugh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Someone asked us about it. Martin said, "A good size. That third division game got 8,500 in Toronto, and a top flight game in the other code got just 6,000 in. I mean, obviously Toronto were at home, and whoever the other teams weren't." But, a slight wry smile. I think that the problem that both rugby codes face with North America is North America already has an established run-with-the-ball and tackle game, which is quite big. It's called the NFL. You've seen it on the telly. And in Canada, they've got Canadian football, which has also got a following as well. There's only a ceiling for so much sport. How long has it taken soccer? To break through.
70,000.
Exactly, their new stadium. But it's taken, when was the World Cup? 94? So that's 23 years, and it's very much the fifth or maybe fourth ahead of ice hockey, depending on where you are. But I think either rugby code who thinks they can break through to get this big pile of money in America are dreamers. Things like Toronto may work because it's a local thing. But
we're expecting another team in Canada.
Mm.
What do we think of that? Scott, you've sent your application in, haven't you? Become the coach or the tea boy or whatever it is, we'll get you to Canada on a regular basis.
To be honest,
we have sent you a glowing reference.
To be honest with you, I'm not interested in coaches, to be honest with you, but, you know, Brian Noble seems to get his job of general managers or football managers. Yes, I wouldn't mind being a football manager of one of these new coaches. I've got plenty of experience and, you know, recommend players who maybe not getting a start in Super League or want to get a fresh start. Yeah, without a doubt, yeah, I've got the experience. No two ways about it. So, yeah, I'd be delighted to be a general manager of one of these Canadian or American sides. And if Nigel's listening, The CV will be put in. Don't worry about that, mate. Yeah, but yeah, Mr. Perez he's very very buoyant, and I say the crowds what they've got from there. Yeah, fully deserved. You know, the promotion what they've got with the players what they're signing. They're pretty serious, aren't they? You know, he's pretty obvious that they was going to get promoted with the quality of players what they've got and the signings what they've made at this moment in time. What big Dave Taylor's been signed? Bit of a waste of time for me, to be honest with you. You know, again another journeyman, Aston Sims. Well, a journeyman for me from there. Who else have I heard today?
Josh McCrone
has signed,
isn't it?
Joe Westerman, I was told today, is going to be signing for Toronto. That's what I was told today, Joe Westerman.
Wow.
That's what I was going to tell you. Joe Westerman is supposed to be going to Toronto. So, boy, oh boy, what's
it's up? It's like Coronation.
What's all this about? What's it all about?
Norris, aren't you? You're like Norris of Coronation.
Oh, don't be giving me a nickname, Norris, please.
Norris, we'll now refer to you as Norris.
You've got more of an hairstyle, Norris, than what I've got. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not about hairstyle. That's
what I've heard.
It's about personality, Norris.
No, this is boring. I'm not boring. I'm not a telltale.
He's a gossip. He's a gossip like you.
That's what I've heard. Joe Westerman, yeah, he's got Toronto. He's still got plenty to offer the game. He'll have plenty to offer Toronto. But Aston Sims and Dave Taylor, do me a favour. Journeyman.
If only Aston Sims had never worn that microphone. Neil, on a similar topic, why can't we have 14 teams in Super League, 14 in the Championship, with two up and two down, and a top six playoff, and the rest have in feeder leagues?
Have we got enough players? Have we got enough players for that sort of thing, to be honest with you? That's a problem, isn't it? You know, and also, we're talking about quality, and I don't know what time we was looking at here on the Tony Smith scenario, but when we look at the quality here now, and yeah, I think we should maybe hit on what Tony said from there, and it's quite interesting, isn't it, when, you know, Tony himself, yeah, he's announced that he's leaving Warrington there, then all of a sudden Tony comes out that the game, from a point of view, it's not attractive, it's not excitement anymore. Well, there's been quite a few players saying that now, I reckon, for around about 5, 7, 10 years from there, and one of them's yours truly, but all I've been called a doommonger, I've been called a dinosaur, all I am is negative, all I am is controversial. But Tony Smith, he makes this assessment that the game is losing its attraction, we're not getting it promoted anymore from there, then all of a sudden now it's, somebody else has said it, we better react. Well, listen, people are experienced, and people want to put something back into the game. Start listening then. Start listening. You know, I one of my DDAs, I'm going to pop at the RFL from where. Well, start listening, because all we want to do is help and advice. And you can't buy experience. But as I say, I'm supposed to be a doommonger, a dinosaur. All I do is whinge and moan and say about the quality.
I'd say this is about right, yeah.
So,
what's your point?
But my point is, start listening to people who want to help. It's as simple as that.
What's your point, caller? Tony Smith's quotes, if you missed them, he spoke to Radio Manchester last week and he said, the game is becoming less attractive, but that is my vibe on it. I am not bitter because I'm finished at Warrington. I've felt like this for a few years now. I'm not sure we are growing much as a sport. I think the sport is dwindling and we need some freshness and excitement about the way we promote it. Ironically, on the BBC, yeah,
but also,
the
I just want to say here. I just want to say here from what the league expected for the Australian CV means he has to be listened to, whether you agree or not. Well, people, you know, who have been retired a little bit more than what Tony Smith has, are they not supposed to be listened to as well? Who realistically feel for the greatest game of all, feel for the British game? Listen, do you not think that myself, Lee Crooks, Elroy Hanley, Andy Gregory, Sean Edwards and Andy Fowle, I don't think Paul Sculthorpe gets asked very much from there now. Do you not think that we don't want to give our advice and give our experience what we've got there and to see to see the national side do well. To hopefully, you know, get the game promoted out. It should be, because we all know that rugby league is the greatest product going, and all we want to do is help and give advice.
I've just had a great tweet from Captain Jibbers. Now, I don't know who Captain Jibbers is, but he said, don't forget, modern TVs now have got the tuning app already on it. So all you've got to do is search Radio Yorkshire. You can actually listen on your TV rather than on Facebook. You can listen through the TV.
We're now getting lots of people comparing Scully to various characters from Coronation Street. Percy Sugden,
yeah,
says Darren. Shane says Stan Ogden. These are all for the younger listeners. This Wilson. Is when TV was in black and white.
Matt Wilson, honestly.
Hold on, what we need is Stan Ogden. We need the three pigeons on the wall, don't we? We're going to have to get some pigeons. We'll have to take the Wenger out sign down and get three pigeons on the wall.
We have, as a sport, a problem with the perception we give out to people. People still believe we are a sport solely based in the north and solely watched by thick northerners, and part of our media coverage still portrays this image. We don't help ourselves.
Fair enough.
There are programmes out there who actively seek out people who come across as idiots and put them on TV. Let's promote thick northerners.
Yeah.
And that's why we're in the mess we're in.
That's fair, dude.
I wonder why Matt Wilson's looking at me there.
Well, I'm looking at Mavis,
Reg Holdsworth.
Matt wants to know where you got your jumper from. Yeah. I'd suggest the same Poundland basket I got my T-shirt
Proud of Mark. Proud of Mark.
If anyone else wants to ring in and abuse, you know, the irony of it is actually your tweet of abuse at one of us three could well win you four tickets to the semi-final. What's Cass?
You can't lose. Whoever said I'm Stan Ogden or Percy or whatever.
Well, you've got to get
to remember that old lady used to call Percy. What impression she used to summarise, wasn't it? Percy.
Gary, Andrew says Scotty comes from his neighbour's washing line in Belle Isle.
Bit arse.
Yeah. Sadly, he lives next door to a bloke who weighs 6 stone. That's why that jumper's a bit tight.
Living up to the stereotype on this programme today. As we're talking about Tony Smith, and we'll talk about his comments on the qualifiers in a minute, but Andy's asked, who do we think will be the next Wire coach? I am sure the chicken legend will have an opinion after his Maguire comments. It appears that's Warrington looking down under.
Chicken legend? What's all the chicken wing tackle? Right, OK, that's what he brought in.
Yeah. We'll go with that, yeah.
They're going to Australia, aren't they? You know, so it's... Richie Agar, he's going to Australia. He's, by all accounts, going as assistant coach at St George. So Richie's leaving as well. So that just leaves the situation. What does Lee Breers do? I would imagine Lee Breers will be a coach in the philosophy, same as Darryl Powell. Should he be given an opportunity? Is it too early for him? Some may say yes, but certainly he's got to be still in the backroom staff. They're going to Australia. The big noise is David Ferner, isn't it? That he's going to take.
He gets linked with a lot of jobs in England. He never gets one.
Yeah, Ferner. Yeah, so, but he's a big noise, isn't he? What they're saying. So David Ferner could be the new coach there at Warrington. But I just hope that they keep Lee Breers there, because he certainly deserves an opportunity, and he'll want to play the game the right way. And exactly the same with Darryl Powell. Simple as that.
Yeah. Good luck tonight, by the way, to all the nominees in the Championship and Championship One awards night. We did get invited, but. Sadly, well, as we inform the RFL every year, we work on a Monday night.
Well, why don't you tell me? How'd it go?
Because you also work on a Monday night, and we couldn't spare you.
I could have booked the night off.
We can arrange for you to have a year off if you want. It's not a problem to us.
We're auditioning replacements while you're out of the World Cup.
That's you want to be careful, pal.
You'll be Skyping me on a Monday night.
You don't even know how to use your phone. How are we going to Skype you, realistically?
Well, you'll get hold of me somehow. I'll have a couple of schooners. I'll have a schooner in one hand and a kebab
in
the other.
It's 6 o'clock at night here. It'll be 6 o'clock in the morning. You'll be drinking and having a kebab.
I'll just be coming in.
Hiding from
you might get a bit more sense out of you. We have got everyone getting in touch. Don't forget, we're giving away 4 tickets tonight, courtesy of our friends at Bachelor's Mushy Peas for the Castleford semi-final a week on Thursday.
I think people have picked up on my thick northerners comments. Apparently, it's all people from Lancashire are the thick ones, and we're all right in Yorkshire.
Ah, right, okay.
Francis says, how can the Super 8s work when every game does not count? Leeds and Cass semi-finalists with 2 games to go, Huddersfield and Salford playing for nothing. But that would be just like a normal league season. There are games where there is nothing at stake.
What do we do then? Do we pander to the lowest common denominator, which in this case, or this case, is R. Salford and Huddersfield? Not being good enough. You don't deserve to be competing at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's simple. Yeah, they're not being good enough from there. Okay, throughout the season, they've managed to get themselves in the eight, but then when it's come to the business end of the season, when it's come to the pressure games, as you just called it there, Mark Wilson, simply not good enough.
Mm. I'd like to ask any Salford fans who went on Friday what they made of the performance of their team, because I thought they were dreadful. Showed very little ambition, no creativity, and Leeds were very good defensively, obviously not to concede a try in that game, but I thought Salford were awful, and I can't understand how they beat Huddersfield and scored 50 points the week before.
No.
But a very good performance from Leeds, and they are timing their run to perfection as we get ready for them to win the grand final.
It's limbering up nicely.
I'm hearing Richard Shaw right, a Wakefield fan. Praise it.
I'm always praising Leeds.
Always praising Leeds. You're worse than Matt Bulls.
You're
worse than Matt Wakefield fan, and Bradford Bulls fan. Praising Leeds.
Hold on, my club's gone bust.
I'm not having it.
Interestingly, I got an email today from the Bradford Bulls. Asking for it to buy a season ticket. It doesn't tell me, though, what league they're playing in. I'm a little bit intrigued. Ooh. And Bradford coming out and signing players on two-year deals. That rumour's not going away, you know.
It's an interesting
one. It's not going away.
It's an interesting
league,
one.
What Nigel told us, as it stands, they've been relegated.
It's an interesting one.
Could they buy another club in, like, the Championship and swap
Shut up. Right, come on, let's get through some more social media.
A few people asked, is that Adam's the latest? What's our opinion on Hull KR? How do we think they'll get on next season? I guess it depends on who they sign for a start, but
they know themselves they'll have to buy, you know, but again, yeah, they'll have to buy four or five, maybe half a dozen quality players, but where are these quality players coming from? You know, the game is not awash with quality, isn't it? You know, so they'll one thing for sure, as I expected Lee to do this year, but they haven't done. I thought they'd make the Lee Sports Village a fortress, but they haven't. Hull Kissing Rovers have been looking to make the home advantage a fortress from there, make it an intimidating place. But yeah, they're gonna struggle for the eight. Yes, they will do, but they've learnt the lesson, learnt the harsh lesson from there. And if it comes to it, quite simply, they'll get ready for the qualifiers again, and hopefully keep the Super League status from there. And they fully deserve it this year.
Yeah, they do. But fair play to everyone at the club.
Absolutely fair play. Yeah. Because as we said last week, Mark. You know, Mr. Hudgill, Tim Sheens, and also to the players, but most importantly, the supporters and the sponsors who stuck by that club. You know, Mr. Hudgill said, right, OK, we're going to stay full-time. We know exactly the mistakes, what we've made this year, and if you stick by us, we'll do our very, very best to make sure we get up at the first attempt. They have done that, so well done to all the directors, the coaching staff and the players, but most certainly as well, the supporters and the sponsors, the major sponsors who stuck by that club. Average of, what, 79,000 every home game from there. Brilliant, and they'll have a good season next year.
OK.
Danny spoke to Neil Hudgill last week. It's still up on the website, I think, radioaction.co.uk, if you want to hear from the OKR chairman. Tony Smith's comments on the qualifiers.
Yeah.
He says, good businesses should be rewarded. If you don't, you miss out on the top grade. Hull KR should never have gone down in the first place on the basis of that. It's a train smash waiting to happen next week, and we're all going to watch it to see which one of the sides is going to play in the next train smash the week afterwards. I'm not sure about the system and the amount of pain it causes for clubs. I'm not sure whether £1 million would cover it. Imagine if Catalans go out. What a disaster that would be for the growth and expansion of our game. Witness two, they have shown they are a good, solid, hard-working club who have contributed to Super League. It leaves me very sad. I wish we'd stuck with licensing. I also feel sorry for Halifax and Featherstone and Halifax, as they have had terrific years and should be competing for something really good and exciting and not suffering heavy defeats like this.
I agree with that one. I think the Featherstone and Halifax should have been rewarded. Maybe play off for that extra bit of cash they get, the 50 grand or whatever extra they get, and that's their season done. Mm. Get preparing for next season. I can't imagine they make that much money.
I'm not having licensing, though.
I get that. But he goes on, all right, Tony, what a disaster it would be if Catalans fall out of Super League. What a disaster, right? Is the French national team better? No. Are we getting a massive mega money TV deal, bringing loads of money in? Now, I understand that might be about to happen, but if it doesn't, they don't bring any revenue. Mm. They don't bring any away fans.
Correct.
I understand they're a very well-run club. They've got a big corporate, Phil tells, a big corporate income and everything. Great, great. Why have they got such a rubbish team then, if they've got all these resources?
Because they've got journeymen playing for them, and they've got journeymen who are playing for them who couldn't care less about that jersey.
So what? Are there millions more French people playing rugby league now because Catalans are in Super League? It's a myth. It's a myth, Tony.
I agree. I can't.
What a disaster it'd be for Tony Smith if they got relegated, because he might not get a nice cushy job in the south of France that he might have lined up for himself. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. I don't know. I'm just asking a question.
Quite simply, if they get beat, they get beat in the £1 million game, they don't deserve to be in Super League.
If that Catalans team was full, and I mean 17 players, or I'll say 3 Aussies and 14, you know, decent French kids, I'd go for that. I'd say, you're right, Tony, we need to keep them in. Mm. They're developing the game. Not doing anything.
I agree. Them players couldn't care less about that Catalans jersey. Simple as that.
No, it's just a big payday, nice bit of weather. Mm. You know, that's what it is. The lure of going to Catalan, you probably get an extra few quid and you get to live where it's 30-odd degrees most of the year round.
It's a jolly boys for them.
If it were like that down at Fev, it were 30 degrees down at Fev, they'd all go to Fev.
Well, that's Richie Myler next year when it comes to Leeds.
Anyway, I want to ask you, I'm going to ask you about Fev, and we've only got 5 minutes, it's got to be quick before the news. We're on to late, don't worry, loads of time after that. Mark Campbell got it wrong by sacking his coach because, as it stands, should Featherstone lose at the weekend, John Duffy will have lost his opening 8 games.
Mm. It's an interesting one, isn't it? You know, and everybody was asking the question regarding the time of it, but I think Mark has said, John Sharp's contract wasn't going to be renewed at the end of the season anyway, and he wanted a different style of rugby league, and that's a chairman's choice.
Well, are they seeing a different... Well, hold on.
I know what you're going to say.
It looked to me...
They scored a point yesterday. I know what you're going to say, but...
Well, it looked like the same style of rugby league standing underneath the post. I didn't notice anything different there.
Well, yes. You're right. I can't make a debate for it, can I? But the chairman's choice...
I just wonder, psychologically, if it'd have been better just leaving it till the end.
Well, that's his choice, isn't it?
He pays the money, he can do what he wants, you're quite right.
That's his choice from there, and I say John Duffy, different coach to what John Sharp wanted. He wanted a more attacking game from there. Defensively, they've been pretty poor, but again, is it the right time of the season? You may be saying not. The players are just buying into his philosophy from there, but once he gets a good pre-season in, he's looking to get new players in from there, players who can do the job for him from there, then hopefully he'll get that consistency. But at this moment in time, no, it's been a disappointing run for John Duffy, and certainly the Featherstone supporters, because...
What I'm saying is, would it have been better just getting rid of these games, get them away? He said he wants a better finish. It's going to be tougher in the Championship next season.
Well, it's going to be tougher with Toronto in there, and say with Toulouse and whoever comes down from Super League. Halifax, if they're battling, you would imagine now, Diskins had 12 months from there, they're going to be...
It's going to be
very, very competitive. London as well from there, so it's going to be very, very competitive from there. So
from there a lot. From where?
Well,
it has been noted. One of our listeners said we should electrocute. We will see. I say that. Yeah, you see, I say that. Mm. We should get one of them buzzer games, right? When you say it, we can buzz you. When I say that, you can buzz me. What do you reckon?
Get lost. Right, let's move on.
Let's move on. Richard, save us.
Electrocuting each other by about 5 minutes into the programme, we never get anything done.
I think Bill would be huge, wouldn't it?
I should just tap into the lamppost or something. I should say, though, club shouldn't rely on away supporters to...
We shouldn't. Big Nigel said that last week. Well, Nigel said that last week. I don't know if I'm allowed to call him that. I don't know. We'll move on.
We've got a couple of minutes before the news, as we looking at Salford. Salford supporter Gemma Carter is here. Is it forward review of Salford, bottom four next year?
Oh, Gemma, you were there. Carney's going back to Australia.
Tell us how exciting Salford's
signing with Todd Carney has been an absolute disaster for Salford, hasn't it? He's brought absolutely nothing.
Taking the two as well? I remember when I played at Berkinshaw in our first ever game. We were all young kids. We were never going to win the game. We got a chance to kick a penalty. We kicked the penalty. Got beat about 60-2. That's what Salford did.
Who was it the other week who did a drop goal when 60 points down? Was it South Wales did that?
Someone will remind me.
Paul says, let's hope Mark's needs stays fit because we are struggling at 7 for the World Cup. Also, the Warrington clear out, surprised they're letting Rhys Evans go.
Who's struggling at 7 for the World Cup? England
depends on Luke Gayle.
No.
Luke Gayle will be fit in 2 weeks, I guarantee.
Luke Gayle will be fit. Mark's knee's not good enough for England. Do me a favour.
Oh, well done, by the way, to Lewis Foster, who is the only person cited by the disciplinary this week for disputing a decision. They should all be up for that, then. They're all doing this at the referees every week. Poor old Lewis Foster.
I'll tell you what as well.
Poor old Lewis Foster. Dispute decision.
Well, let's hope he gets on.
I'll tell you what as well.
Yeah,
we're talking about referees, and I must say, at this moment in time, Phil Benford's head and shoulders above anybody else.
Yeah,
he's not giving up penalties. He's letting the games flow. I don't want to get a bit ripped in. He's letting them get ripped in. Yeah, at this moment in time, Phil Benford is head and shoulders above anybody else.
Very good. Bit of praise there for referees.
Hashtag free.
Better move on quickly.
People wanted to talk about Wakefield. We'll do that after the news because obviously we're running out of time. But Jimmy says Leon Price, our friend, believes Super League fans are missing out on a jolly to Catalans. If they are relegated, it would be a major disappointment. Do we agree?
No.
Never been.
I haven't actually. It's supposed to be great, but I go on holidays for a great holiday.
Exactly. Listen, I could care less about that sort of thing. At the end of the day, if they're not good enough to stay in Super League, they get relegated. It's as simple as that.
And Warwick says, York City United's crowns up 55% this year. Well done to them.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've got new owners at the start of the season, didn't they? So it's good to see them back on a secure footing and hopefully get that new stadium. Know what that feels like. Sue asked a question we've answered plenty of times, I think. What are your thoughts on every team having an academy team? If facts can manage it, why not the bigger Super League teams?
Should happen.
Exactly.
Should be 100%. An absolute. Everyone does it. I think then you might find we get some more players coming through. The more opportunities they get to play.
Absolutely.
You know, we will see. Alan says, are you serious? Phil Bentham?
Yeah.
Everyone's
got
an opinion, Scotty. Oh, we've got to go. I've run out of time. That's hour number one done. Don't forget, no problem. We're here for another hour. No, Scotty, I genuinely haven't got time. I have overrun. I'll be getting into bother for not playing the adverts.
Proper sport at six. If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Welcome back to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. It's Mark Richard and the legend with you, know Phil Kaplan tonight. He's hobnobbing it at the Leeds Rhinos end of season awards. I think it's Huddersfield Giants one tonight as well. I can't believe dominating our social media right now. Peas on toast, yes or no, as the legend comes in with what looks a very weak cup of tea. Poor, that legend.
The bad news is I don't think Danny Parkins has been able to get him into the celebrity jungle, but surely Celebrity MasterChef next year. They must be running out of people now anyway, because they go through so many a season.
But, well, what about now?
Peas on toast. Your culinary skills, Ledge?
Celebrity MasterChef, you're there with John Turod and whoever the other
fella. Honestly, peas on toast, mint sauce, honestly. Beautiful. Beautiful.
We shall see. Right, OK, well, let's get through. The listeners, you want to set the agenda? Where do you want us to go? Let us know, at RL on RY. Remember, I've got to do the official announcement now. We've got sponsors and everything on this show. Radio Yorkshire's teamed up with the official Betfred Super League partners, Bachelor's Mushy Pizza, offer one lucky Rugby League fan 4 tickets to this year's playoff semi-finals. A huge hit with fans of the sport and Scoey, quite clearly. Bachelor's Mushy Peas are the perfect accompaniment for match day meals and a great way to get one of your 5 a day. As the UK's favourite canned peas brand, Bachelor's produces top quality marrow fat, mushy and garden peas and has been a tea time family favourite for decades. The winner will receive 4 standard tickets to the Castleford Tigers playoff semi-final fixture on Thursday the 28th of September. To find out more about the UK's favourite canned peas brand and official partner of the Betfred Super League, head to bachelorspeas.co.uk. All you've got to do is get in touch, basically. You can get in touch via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. You can send us a tweet. You can share the link. You can, if you listen on a podcast, send us a tweet in after the event, at RL on RY, at @radio_Yorkshire. The more that get involved, the more... I reckon that's going to be a sellout, that game, by the way. Might be the only way you can get a ticket to that fixture.
Before we get on to the serious stuff, people want to know about the big recipe, the peas on toast. Is it normal peas or mushy peas?
It's garden peas.
Garden peas.
Darren has mushy peas with mint sauce on toast. This is what we're descending to.
This is what. What
else can people be watching at this time of night?
I don't know. This is why they love the legend.
You open it.
This
up
is
and
why
say,
they love the legend.
We'll talk about whatever you want.
Peace.
And we're talking about peace. Bachelors should be paying us £1 million a show.
They love it, Bachelors. They'll absolutely love it. Hey, listen, why do you think I played for Great Britain 4 or 6 times?
What? Because you ate peas.
Peas on toast.
So that's.
Maybe if you'd have made beans on toast, you might have played 48 times.
My missus will tell you when I do them, I love eating them cold as well. You know, it's time to leave them warm.
I eat them cold.
Honestly, seriously.
I'm just telling you.
Facebook has been overrun by peas.
But see what you've started now, legend.
It's all gone mad. Mark's asked us a few questions. I'm having to pick these out now amongst the peas. Mark's asked us about an honest reflection on Wakefield and the fact that they are still in the hunt for a semi-final against Castleford, and their great season, which may have come to an end, may well come to an end on Thursday. It will, brackets. I've seen Salford, they ain't no good. Close brackets, or might do on Friday.
Can you tip St Helens to win on Thursday and then Salford not even have a remotest chance
since
of winning?
By 50.
Oh, listen, don't you get like everybody else. If I tip somebody, you know, they're gonna get beat or the team's going to win. But listen,
I want an honest question, right? Yeah. You last week, so Wakey's season's over, and the odds suggest you're right.
Is that an admission?
No, the odds suggest you're right. I want to say, your honest opinion, you were impressed with Wakey on Friday again, weren't you?
Oh, very, very impressed. Listen, as I said, you know, the last four games of the season, right? The last four games, I said about Wakefield, if they perform to their best, right, they can make the top four. It's consistency in them four performances. And listen, the facts, Mark and Richard, doesn't tell lies, right? I'm just going to repeat myself here, right? I'm just going to repeat myself. You know exactly what
I'm
going to say.
Hold on.
I'm not listening. Against St Helens, for 78 minutes and 30 seconds, they were the better side. But we all know what happened. We all know what happened, don't we? Scott Griggs came up with a howler, and it cost them the 2 points. Last week against Hull, for 80 minutes, they were the better side. They were a quality side. They played quality rugby league, smart rugby league. What they have done for most of this season. But the most important factor is Mark Wilson and Richard Shorewright. It's the scoreboard. They got beat by 1 point. Not like lack of effort, not for lack of commitment. It was just unfortunate where Liam Finn, for me, it just wasn't set up properly. It was a little bit rushed.
In all fairness, though, the point actually wouldn't have made any difference. It
wouldn't have made much difference, no. But overall, Wakefield themselves, a chance of finishing the top four. It looks like they're going to miss out. They're going to finish sixth. It's been a great season for Wakefield. It has. Yeah, they're disappointed. But to show the fans that an opportunity of finishing the top four. But unfortunately, for two games, the most important stat is the scoreboard, and they've come off empty by one mistake, maybe not getting the field goal from there. But overall, Michael Carter's done a great job as chairman. Chris Chester's done a great job as a coach. The players have played tremendously well at times with consistent rugby league. They played smart, attractive rugby league at times. It's been a great season for Wakefield. I can understand the disappointment, but unfortunately, when the pressure's been on, couldn't handle it.
That's tight. That is so tight. What's that? Oh, I think that's half saying that. I just think, you know what? They've been 99.9% there. They just missed the 0.1.
What's the most important? Do you want me to keep repeating myself, Matt? What is the most important stat? You can have whatever stat you want. Tackle count, field position, time in possession. The most important stat is the scoreboard. There you go.
Second highest point scorers, joint second highest point scorers in the competition. They've got a winning record. They've got a positive points difference.
Should they have gone for a try instead of a drop goal?
And we were there, I thought the tackle before, I thought they'd scored. It was a great tackle on the line.
Right then. Castleford Tigers top, Leeds Rhinos second, Hull FC third, St Helens fourth, Wigan Warriors fifth, and Wakefield Trinity sixth. Stop giving me a load of tosh, Mark Wilson, about stats and figures The league table.
Yeah, Scott, I found another one of my jerseys.
The league table doesn't tell lies. Castleford Tigers 50, the Reed Ryan 38, Hull FC 33, St Helens 31, Wigan Warriors 31. And Wakefield Trinity 30.
Do you think that
the last two games? Yes, they have been the better sides, but unfortunately, they've just come up that empty in the last 90 seconds and come up empty in the last minute again.
When do you go to Australia?
When do I go?
Yeah,
25th of October.
All right, okay. You're gonna go at 25 past 7 tonight.
Wakefield Saints and Wigan, all in the hunt. and Hull, none of which are on their own stadiums, by the way, so they're all on a level footing coming into this one. Which owner, stroke chairman, stroke board of directors have got the best value for money in 2017 from their squad? Well, probably Hull, because they've won something, but apart from Hull...
Hey, but listen as well, Wakefield on Saturday night, you know, as I've said a few times on the show, get down there, make it a celebration night on Saturday night. You know, because whatever happens between Hull and Cass, whatever happens between St Helens and Salford from there, get down there and make it a celebration night for the chairman himself, Michael, and I say the coaching staff of the players. It has been a tremendous season for you. Wakefield themselves, they set the goal of finishing sixth. I fully understand. Yeah, it's disappointment because you've had an opportunity of finishing the top four. Hey, but listen, it's been a great season for you. Get down there, celebrate the season, and who knows? Who knows what could happen next year? This has been... It's an old philosophy, what they say nowadays. We're keeping learning. It's an old philosophy we've learned from this year. Well, hopefully, they have learnt this this year, and they could go one better next year. Simple as that.
Okay.
I'll go grab some players after the game and see how they feel on Saturday. Yeah. See their reaction.
Have the rugby league missed a trick? And I know it's very hard, and they didn't know Wigan were going to lose to Castleford, and they didn't know Wakefield were going to lose. So it almost seems daft that either they don't all play at the same time this weekend to add to the drama that, St Helens are 6-0 down, or Wigan have gone in front.
Yeah.
Surely the Wigan-Wakey game needs to be first, and then we know who's out.
To be honest, it all needs to be at the same time, doesn't it? It all needs to be at the same time. I know Martin Sutherland League Express points it out. It all should be at the same time. So nobody knows what they need to do. Nobody knows, we can't. Doesn't matter, you know, because on the Saturday night, realistically, it could be a dead rubber, couldn't it? You know, and then that will be a bit of a dampener, to be honest with you, from there, won't it?
If it is a dead rubber, though, which I think it will be.
But from a financial point of view, it'd be better, you know. They'll get a few more quid if Wakefield do beat Wigan and finish fifth.
If it is a dead rubber in terms of the top four, surely that means Wakefield should go into this game as, you know, I wouldn't say favourites to win, but with a lot less pressure on them than Wigan will go into this game. A, having just lost at home in a very disappointing performance against Castleford. And B, Wakefield, having had the great season they have had and the style of rugby they play, they're not going to go out there and think, we'll just do five drives and a kick then this afternoon, won't we? They're going to go out there and entertain. And their players will go out and entertain the supporters who make it there. And I know there's, you know, kicking off at 3 on a Saturday afternoon is not great because a lot of Wakefield supporters will say, I'm going to go watch Leeds United or whatever. But hopefully there is a big crowd. Hopefully there's lots of people there to enjoy an exciting Wakefield performance. And hopefully it's 62-0 and we can all laugh at Wigan again. Apologies, Wigan fans. I was collared out.
John Wayne won't be friends with Richard now. I'll send you. Make sure you go to Wayne's presser after the game. His spies will be out.
I was collared outside Headingley on Friday, leaving the ground. And the basic message from Leeds supporter was, no one likes Wigan. We're glad Wigan aren't in it. So it's, you know, we're just speaking on behalf of the people. What can we do?
Well, must say for Wigan, let's congratulate Liam Marshall, being voted the rookie of the year for the League Express. So well done, Liam. I think this is his first full season, so many, many congratulations. He's another youngster who's been given the opportunity by the coach there at Wigan in Sean Wayne, and he's grabbed it with both hands, and he's had an outstanding season. So well done to Liam Marshall.
Yeah, well done. Fantastic. It just shows, doesn't it, someone's downfall, you know, the injury to Manfredi, etc., opens the door. Coming in another youngster that's taking his chance.
Do you know what? It happened to Sam Tompkins. Remember with Sam Tompkins, because he was going to get loaned out to Barrow, you know. He was going to go on due rest to Barrow, and I think they played Whitehaven on the Monday night in the Challenge Cup. Do you remember? I think they beat Whitehaven 106.
I was going to say it's a big score.
About 106, 110-0. And Sam that night, I think he scored 6 tries. That was the start of Sam Tompkins. Somebody was injured. There was a fullback. I forgot who the fullback at the time was at Wigan. But anyway, Sam, he made his debut, or made maybe his second or third appearance for Wigan. Scored 6 tries that night, and the rest is history, as I say.
Andrew asked about Wakefield. What do the lads think will happen to the Wakefield side? The big clubs will be sniffing around. They're great players.
I think all the good players have been signed up.
I think they're all signed
more
up.
More to come, at least one more to come announced this week.
Hearing some very, very exciting names being linked. I'm not going to go all Percy Sugden like Scoey did in our number one, but I think there's some very big names could be coming in.
I'm not having that Percy Sugden. I'm not having Percy Sugden.
You wore a hat like you did.
And I'm not having Norris. So, tell you.
Norris. I meant Norris.
Not a chance. But hey, listen. When you see the Wakefield players, they've got a smile on their face. They want to stay at the club. They want to They want to play for Chris Chester, you know, so they have no reason to leave. You know, I want to imagine Michael Carter's looking after them nicely, with nice little bonuses in the contracts from there. So there's no reason at this
all
point in time.
Certainly legitimate under the salary cap rules, of course,
there's,
Gary.
No, well, there'll be bonuses in there, won't there? You know, finishing wherever they're going to be finishing from there. So what I'm saying is here now, Wakefield, at this moment in time, is a happy place, and the coaching staff, the players are happy, and I say supporters get behind them.
I miss the days of players' wives being paid £250,000 to be cleaners.
Allegedly.
I didn't mention any clubs or players. I miss those days. On World Cup, we were talking about Mark Sneed earlier. Adam says, do you guys rate Widdop, or is it just me who thinks if he was not playing in Oz, he'd never get a look in? I don't watch enough of the NRL. So,
I don't.
We'll ask a number six.
He's a quality player, you know, and he's very highly rated, not just by his own teammates, but also to the Kiwis and the Aussies from well. So no, he's a quality player. He's Widdop. Would he be as good in Super League? But he tests himself week in and week out, and he comes up with the goods most of the time. To be honest with you, from there. But when you look at the halfbacks, let's say you'll have Widdop, we'll have George Williams. We'll have Luke Gale. Well, we only need three. We don't need any more.
Felix asked about George Williams. He thinks he's been very average second half of the season.
Yeah,
should he make the World Cup? We're not number six, but can't understand the comments last week by Widdop saying the best partner was Williams. Surely Gale would be the obvious seven.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. George has been very disappointed in the second half, if I'm honest from there. And I've got to say, he got the sponsors man of the match yesterday. And I must say, it must have been his mum and dad and his grandma and his brothers and sisters who were picking for it, because he was very, very ordinary. And I would say Bateman was my man of the match from there. Maybe a couple more players from there. But no, it's been a disappointing second half to the season for George. But he's a quality player, and hopefully we can see the best of him in the World Cup.
Sorry to keep giggling, but obviously I see the messages as they're coming in. You've been referred to as Compo.
Oh, please. I can wear my flat cap if you want. Let me go get my flat cap.
Well, Compo wore like that tea cosy thing.
Yeah, more a woolly hat, didn't he? More a woolly hat.
Woolly trousers.
Yeah. You had a pretty scruffy coat like that one you always wear. Cold green grass. That's hilarious.
Turning to abuse.
You're getting hammered now. This is all these people inadvertently entering a chance to win four tickets. So someone's going to go, I sent Scotty an abusive message. And I won four tickets for the Cats game.
Yeah, listen, but all I want to say to all our listeners out there, and please, please come back next week and reply. Please, I want everybody to try peas on toast, preferably on brown bread. On brown bread.
Well, that's healthy option, listeners.
On brown bread with mint sauce. And I'll tell you, the response next week, I bet you everybody, I'll tell you, 95% will come back.
We're going to have to make a video on this.
Next week, you can come in.
95% of people will come back and say, I'll tell you what, Scoey, you're right.
Right, well, you bring some peas here next week and a loaf of bread. We'll have them.
So I'll have them, pretty much. I've got a cupboard full of them at home.
We'll have them, honestly. And I'll tell you, 95%, all you listeners, try your peas on toast with your loved ones.
If you mention peas again, right, you're not getting paid this week. You understand that? Right, you've been told now. I'm sick of it.
Well, what about our Facebook or wherever you're looking at there, or Twitter there.
Feel free to abuse him, just don't mention peas. I'm trying, this is a serious rugby league programme.
I know it is, I am being serious.
That's what I tell the boss anyway.
I am being serious. I thought you were the boss.
No, I don't know who told you that.
Don't worry, not touch it anyway.
Not even the boss in my own house, mate.
Let's move on.
That's the dog, isn't it? Colin says Wakey should be filled to the rafters. It could be their last game there.
Could be.
Find out on Wednesday.
Find out Wednesday.
Oh, I'm so excited.
What do you reckon?
I don't care anymore, because it's never going to get sorted, is it?
What are they deciding on Wednesday?
I've been banned from using the phrase Sir Rodney Walker Megadome, but you know, we'll find out.
But what is supposed to be decided then?
I don't know.
Yes or no, where it's going to be built,
Whether Wakefield are allowed to play at Bellevue for another season,
or whether they have to go play somewhere else.
I don't know. We'll find out on Wednesday. I wait with bated breath. Apparently they're going to announce one of the signings as well at the same time, so I don't know if it's going to be a good news, bad news thing. You know, like Chris Townsend, we don't want to give you that.
News.
Yeah, it could be good. Yeah, but it's Wakefield. It's bad, bad.
Mate, I'm telling you, they're going to improve that squad for next season. Have faith.
Yeah.
Have faith in Michael Carter.
Stephen's asked, have faith, Stephen. I know Stephen's...
You'll find out.
I know Stephen's on the Wakefield Trinity Facebook group thing, which is full of people who've been trying to pick out who the... I think, did Michael Carter say he's got four letters in his name or something? Oh, everyone got a bit worried at one point. That was going to be Ashton Sims.
Ah.
But thankfully...
Do you know? Have you heard who it is? Can you give us an exclusive?
Well, I could do, but I'd probably join you on the ban list at Wakefield. So I'll move on.
Oh, no, I'm going to get banned.
I'm not banned at Wakefield.
Oh, you are, believe
Why?
Me.
What for?
Yeah, we've banned you.
You're banned, I'm banned. I'm going to sneak in on I'm going to go interview.
Well, I can't make... Michael, it's OK with the chip boys. Don't give any chip boys outside you, Michael. I'm not there.
I know which
I'm
player,
not there.
I know which player I won't be trying to interview after the game on Saturday. Elsewhere... Well, probably we should give out prizes for abusing Scully, says Andrew. No. That would boost listening.
We appreciate
figures.
Each and every one of those abusive messages. Keep them coming at RL and RY.
Well, we keep them all in a file
Facebook
and pass
page.
Them on to the press.
I mean, it's like, well, there's some massive games of rugby league this
peas.
Weekend, and we're talking about peas.
Here's Dean.
You!
Dean!
You! You! You're out. 10 minutes.
Dean says, can I have a shout-out, please, for myself and my four-month-old daughter? We're watching and listening to you guys live on Facebook. Where's Phil? He almost makes my daughter fall asleep.
That's why he's not here. He makes us fall asleep.
Ding,
ding. No, Phil Kaplan tonight. It's the Leeds Rhinos presentation awards evening. I think it's normal at the Royal Armouries, isn't it? So that's where Phil is tonight. He's at the Leeds Rhinos awards evening for all the players. I would imagine Phil will be delighted. He'll be going Purcell. I would imagine as the player of the season. I think Parcell. He deserves the player of the season. He's been outstanding for years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been.
Did I say like a couple of weeks ago? There's speculation that he may want to leave as well. He wants a higher pay rise, or he might be leaving.
Interesting.
He's signed a 3-year deal, hasn't he?
Interesting. I was interviewing a player, and again, I won't divulge names on this show. That'd be unfair. But I actually asked him about his own future at Leeds, and he genuinely looked at me and said, "I've no idea what you're on about. I'm all right." And he went, "But I've heard Matt Parcell might be leaving." And they're like, "What?"
He's probably listening to the show. That's the problem.
Honestly. So there you go.
Interesting one. Yeah, interesting one.
I'm picking his performances will have been noted. And he will be on the list as a potential signing for someone.
We have had lots of various suggestions of how we should eat peas, which is still continuing on Facebook.
Come on now, come on. But, I want to know who's going to be in the £1 million.
Yeah,
game.
We do, and we've also been asked about, well, this is Captain Jibbers earlier, about Jake Truman. Should we limit foreign players coming to the UK? Gary says that NRL he sees it week in, week out. Kids playing the best. It's the only way they'll develop.
There are quarter spots.
Yeah, but how many... people on
journeyman.
Passports getting
journeyman.
To, you know,
exactly.
Fourth-rate Aussies who
get
into your
of them. I don't want them. There's loads of talent who want an opportunity. Give them that talent. We're losing too many kids at 19 years of age because so-called executives and so-called scouts are saying they're not good enough. Yeah, well, give them an opportunity and they'll tell you and they will prove to you that they are good enough. Simple as that.
Luke's asked, who's making all these decisions about players leaving Warrington if they have no coach yet for next year? No squad systems, right?
Yeah, there's two more players leaving today. It's been announced, hasn't it? Matty Blythe and Kevin Penny.
Okay. Isn't this the positive about... a big positive
no,
about
No, they'll be going to Toronto, won't they?
Not off to Montreal. Isn't this a big positive about Wakefield's squad that there doesn't look to be too much churn? They're able to keep an almost settled squad together for next season, which would be...
Yeah,
you know, doesn't happen very often for a team in that position.
They've gone from a team that... We're picking up the scrag ends. And I remember when you went pre-season training started the 1 year, they had seven players.
Who's that?
Wakefield. This is only about 3 or 4 years ago.
They were struggling
like crazy. Now they've got players signed up, better players. You know, Fifita could easily have gone somewhere else. Ben Jones-Bishop could have gone somewhere else. Miller could have gone somewhere else. All signing long-term agreements. And that's good. I like it.
You know why? That's because the coach lets them play with a smile on the face, they come to training with a smile on the face, and they enjoy the environment. Makes it a lot easier, Mark. Makes it a hell of a lot easier. And the players enjoy exactly the way that Chris Chester wants them to play. And there you go. It is.
Good.
A couple of questions from Francis. Said, did Mr. Wood actually answer the question last week about how many people streamed the last international and how much cash was taken? If not, who are the RFL hierarchy answerable to? I think we were told before the game, wasn't it, Wade, that they were going to release a figure and then they didn't, which you can draw your own conclusions from.
Draw your own conclusions from that. I think there is good intention behind what they tried to do.
Yes.
My criticism would be if they would have made it free, most people would have watched it. Even if only for 5 minutes, they would have all logged in, had a look at it. And I think that's what the RFL are trying to do. They're trying to create a demand for their product. You're watching more football clubs now. I've just seen the AFL deal. In 2 seasons, you're going to be able to watch a Leeds United game or whoever you support in the championship on your phone, probably for a fiver. You don't even have to go out of the house. You don't even go to the pub. You can watch it on your phone. That's what's going to happen. That's the way sport is going, because Sky and companies like that are getting worried that everyone's finding rip-off services and they can watch what they want, where they want. Look, that's the life.
It is. Francie also asked, do you think the Roses match can make a return? Cricket's T20 sells out. Clubs already risk injury through World Series games. Receipts could be split between Super League clubs.
Wouldn't it, if they got less games, surely?
And it has to be a different concept, in a sense. We talk about the sport being geared towards thick northerners as the perception, and then you say, well, let's have Lancashire versus Yorkshire. I know there was the thing a couple of weeks ago, and I know everyone got very excited about that. I think the problem with a lot of the reaction from that game at Headingley a few weeks ago was it's a one-off, and I went to go see, was it 2001 or 2002 you played the Aussies in a Legends Test?
2002. At Leeds, yeah.
I went to that. I put my money down because I didn't get the chance to see Malman Ingram in his heyday and all these players, and that was a great thrill to watch these legends of the game play. I think the problem with the game a couple of weeks ago is there were a lot of players on there who, A, had just recently retired, and B, aren't anywhere near legend class. And I think if you're going to have some kind of legend series, you may as well tie that with the Masters Rugby League or Touch Rugby League and have a series of games before matches or whatever. I don't think an ongoing 13-a-side thing is viable, A, for the reason that all these people retired for, you know, reasons of getting older. You can't keep your body doing whatever you used to do when you were a lot younger. So as good as people's intentions are about what happened a few weeks ago, is it viable as a regular concept in the long term? I'm not so sure, because I don't think we've got that churn of legends either. And once you've seen players you remember seeing when you were younger play once, are you necessarily going to go back and see them again? It's like seeing a tribute act, isn't it? Or a band rather do a comeback gig. Once you've seen them come back, you think, yeah, you still look the same slightly, a bit older, and you know you can still sing a little bit, but you're not what you were, you know.
Okay.
Seen it once and seen it again.
I think if it's going to come back, it needs to be less games, more time to play it, but we'll see. Anything else? What people saying about this game?
Well, the £1 million game is the interesting one now, isn't it? Because what is going to happen this weekend? Catalans versus Widnes. As Catalans with that great escape last week against Hull KR. Not that Hull KR bothered, they're obviously back in Super League next season. Catalans, Widnes and Lee, we're going to lose one of them now from Super League. Who's staying up? Who's going? And what's the best result?
Well, Lee know they're in the £1 million game. The question for Lee is, who did they play away? Is it Widnes or Catalans? And Widnes at this moment in time, okay, it wasn't the best of performance against Hull KR, but take nothing away from Hull KR. They fully deserves that. But
you keep talking about Lee. If Catalans lose, Catalans will have to go to Lee. Lee would be at home.
It depends on the points. Is it the point?
Unless Catalans win by 50 and Lee get battered by London, that's not going to change.
Well, I'd say, Lee, then they may play Catalans. I'm expecting Widnes to beat Catalans. I know Widnes fans will be going ballistic now, won't they? I'm going to tip Widnes to beat Catalans there on the weekend, and they'll be very, very confident. Good performance against London from there. Dennis Beck's now, I say, the lads have got some confidence. He's got his best players back from there, and they'll do a job of Catalans. Catalans, for mine, the players, they just, well, most of them are leaving anyway, and they couldn't care less, have no respect for that jersey. They've been a disgrace for mine for that jersey all season. It's Catalans Lee for me in the £1 million game. Whether Lee go to Catalans as well, Lee did a great job on them.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Well, but even if it does, Lee did a great job on them a couple of weeks'
it's
time.
It's not going to happen.
You said that last week about Wakefield qualifying, didn't you?
Lee, anyway, plus 62.
Right.
Catalans minus 11. If Lee win and Catalans lose, it will be at Lee.
At Lee. Well, Catalans are going then. Catalans are going.
Going?
Yeah, going.
So what happens to the championship next season? We just had a message from Rick who says Facts versus Fev this week determines the best part-time team in the country. But those part-time teams are going to have to go to Catalans.
Rick,
going to have
by
to Toronto.
Way, works at Halifax, so you better stick me and the legend on the media list because we'll be there Sunday.
Is that where we're going?
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
It is, yeah. Making our debut down at the Shear.
Oh, we're going, oh yeah, great stuff, yeah. I like Halifax as a club. Yeah, the coach right way. I like Richard Marshall. Ian Crowe, one of the directors. Yeah, good bloke. Yeah, I like Halifax. Well, like I like Feversham.
Yeah.
I like every rugby league club, anyway. Yeah.
Apart from Wigan. We,
Sean, that wasn't me who said that.
I tell you what, you know, if Wayne gets hold of RSW...
If, if they make the top four, I'm in trouble next week at that semi-final launch, Anna.
Yeah. So, Sean, can I ask
you? I'll let Tom do that.
It's always great to see you.
I'll go hide in the corner. I like Wigan, they have nice pies.
Hey, I'll tell you what, yesterday, Matt Orton, he did the 10K run or whatever.
He's listening, so be
careful. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, he turned up in his running gear yesterday, and so I said to him, and he sent me a message, go and get us a pie. So I said to him, I've got you a pie, do you want any brown sauce? No sauce. Well, there's a spare couple of pies, you want? I'll have two. I tell you what, he ripped into the pies. I'm surprised he had any fingers left, to be honest with you. But, he enjoyed them. But, yeah, well done, Matt. He did the 10K run yesterday over at Warrington, raised a few quid again, I'm led to believe, for the charities, what him and his good lady Karen are doing for. So well done, Matt. But he ripped into them pies yesterday. Ripped into them.
You can see this guy. Someone's put your head on Daniel Craig's body, which was something you referenced yesterday in commentary.
Let's have a look. I'll tell you what, that'll be me coming out of the Indian Ocean in Perth. Honestly. Speedos on, green Speedos, bachelors on the back of them.
Harpoon in the backside. When they've caught
it. That's a bit harsh, Richard Shaw, right? That's a bit harsh, son. Hey.
RL on our way. Keep them coming in.
People want to see you in a bath with peas, which is slightly concerning. Oh, we're going to report this to the authorities.
I tell you what, bachelors are loving this programme tonight, aren't they? Eh? Absolute loving it.
Mark says, are Hull in danger of missing out if Saints and Wigan win? After their Challenge Cup win and, of course, the whole story of they're not going to repeat last year and fall apart.
I'll tell you what, one bit of a show, and everybody's... Do you know what the factor is here? And Aaron Bowers mentioned it as well in the League Express, is that, you know, Castleford, you know, if they don't make the grand final, and, you know, it'd be a travesty from there. But you know what, Darryl Powell, he'll be taking this game very seriously. Hull have done a job on Cast this year, certainly in the Challenge Cup for them. So Darryl wants some revenge, and... And I say it all depends on the scoreline, what's going to be. And if Wigan turn Wakeford over and send Tellens from there, Hull could miss out. They could, but Hull will need to score plenty of points. Wigan, do they need to score plenty of points, Matt, against Wakefield if Hull get beat? What's the points difference there?
Wigan, no. If Hull lose and Wigan win, Wigan are in.
Right, so that's a fact then. All right, so, do you know what? There's no love lost. I wonder, there's no love lost between Darryl and Sean. I wonder if Sean will be sending Dal a good luck message. You know, I know there's no luck because Dal didn't send him a message when they won the World Cup Championship, but I just wonder if Sean will be getting on to Dal and say, listen, all the very best, mate, do us a favour, will you?
In fact, actually, I said about Finn's kick missing, had Finn had kicked that goal, it would have meant they could have still caught Hull, of course, so it would have still been on. So my apologies.
So what do you reckon Sean will be sending Dal a message to say, do us a job, mate?
Well, as I said earlier, Cass have kicked Wigan out, they can pull them back in this weekend. It's an interesting one. Week before the big semi-final, are you going to rest a few? You don't want to pick up any injuries?
Dallow won't rest anybody. He wants his players all firing. Don't worry about that. And I tell you what, the young kid is well true, man. He wants to play. I'm sure he will play because obviously Luke Gale's no chance of playing this week. But young Truman, he wants to play from there, and I'm sure he will do. But it's a fascinating weekend, isn't it? The fixtures, it is, and really looking forward to it. Really looking forward to it.
Good stuff.
Elsewhere, we're not talking about peas as we have done today, and people are still talking about peas. Roy says Hull are the best around at knockout football this season, which I guess is what they've won, the only knockout competition. Simon, on that point, I was half making, then got distracted by something. To lose Toronto and Catalan, I feel sorry for any championship supporter that prides himself in foreign club home and away. The RFL are taking the honest working man's chance to support his or her club away.
Come on. That's a very short sighted. I get your point, but it's a very short sighted thing. Is that like saying footballer taking your chance of watching your football? So if Leeds getting to Europe, is that taking the chances of Leeds United fans to watch their team?
What's he asking?
He's saying that because there's all the away trips in the Championship, it's taking away the chance for the fan to watch.
I know,
get your point, but I think that's a bit of a poor attitude.
I know those are three tricky places to justify going to. But I think there is in general, a bit of a persecution complex in rugby league with travel, when we do have generally very short distances to travel for the majority of our games. I know the M62's a nightmare, but as was ever thus.
Yeah.
You know, people managed to go away in the days before the M62 and before cars and when there were
football
horses.
Football fans go everywhere.
Exactly.
You know, they'll be in London on a Tuesday night. So why are fans go to London on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon?
It's a tricky one because, you know, obviously... We're not saying, you have to go to all these. I hate the people who make that, I've been to all the games, I'm a better supporter than you. Those are people that I hate them. You've just got more money or more available time to go to more games. Plenty of people work, plenty of people don't work because they can't for any various reasons. Mm. It doesn't make you less of a supporter because you cannot financially support a team.
It is very expensive to follow any kind of sport. If you're going, you and the missus, two kids, you're doing 200 quid. You're doing 200 quid in an afternoon. Mm. That's pretty much a full week's wage to a lot of people.
So, you know,
two weeks full wage to me and you, Rich.
it's hard, but no, if you can't get to every game, and people who get upset about these things, I don't know why they do. If you can't get to every game, you can't get to every game. I know people moan about kickoff times changing. It's going to inconvenience someone, but it's also going to be a knock-on benefit to somebody else.
Mm.
I generally work Saturdays. I've taken the Saturday off to watch Wakefield this week. It's costing me money, but I want to go.
Alan says, Scotty, do a charity bath of peas. What I would say, Alan, set up one of them giving pages. You raise 1,000 quid, we'll get Scotty in a vat of peas for you.
Do I get no say in this?
No.
Lance earlier asked...
You were saying, where am I going on Sunday? In a bath of peas. Outside,
in the
rain.
We're in middle of Saddleworth. I'm middle of Saddleworth. Cheers.
Yeah. keep that jumper on.
Lance asked us earlier, what would our vision of the game be and why? Imagine we were Nigel Wood or the shadowy cabal of people who run the Rugby Football League. What would we do? Panic, first of all.
Go on then, Scully. You're in charge. Yeah. Nigel rings you tomorrow. Look, he says, I'm emigrating. I'm going to live in...
Montreal.
Montreal, yeah. Mm. I'm going to go live there. Mm. I'm putting you in charge for 12 months, legend. Mm. What would you do? Don't say use all his expenses. that is not the answer that I'm looking for on this occasion.
All right, not them all.
Half of them.
A third of them. I would have a total ban on all overseas players. I'd make it all English.
All overseas?
All overseas, from coaches to players. I'd want it the British way. Marketing point of view, I want to make sure that we would look to be attracting the bigger sponsors. And that's no disrespect to what we got involved at this moment in time. I would look to... I'm coming along with the situation of a Phil Kaplan with maybe less again because I want more quality. I would make sure that every club would have to have reserve teams, and that would give us more quality for players who want to be part of the club and stay part of that club. And then lastly, I would be looking at more TV deals where we have more variation rather than just Sky. That would be me.
Okay, Rich?
I don't know how we've gone from peas to people tweeting pictures in their swimming costumes now, but thanks to Yorkshire Pros and John for that. Look a bit better than that... A picture of Scully earlier. I'm interested with the ban all foreigners. Shouldn't we just have a higher quality threshold for players who get work permits?
Right,
to play
Rich,
this country?
Do you know one of the reasons why I say this? The Australians did it in 1970. They put an international ban from 1977, and they got shut of it in 1982. We all know the reason why that because of the Invincibles. We know what they did to us and. What the Invincibles did, they brought front rowers who were quicker than our backs. The forwards who were quicker than our backs. The backs were as big as what our forwards were. We all know from there. And the guru of a coach, Jack Gibson, went to America, studied fitness. And what the Australians did, they put an international ban on because they knew the British players were far more skillful. And they will tell you, when the British players were playing in the... It wasn't the NRL, it was the old Winfield Cup, wasn't it? And they say when they had the likes of Phil Lowe and the great Mal Reilly and David Toppas and Brian Lockwood and Steve Norton and Gary Stevens and and David Bolton and these sort of players. And
what David Bolton? He was from Yorkshire Knights. on here.
David, yeah,
10 o'clock, we'll be on.
The late, great Dave Topless as well. And Dave, but he was a quality standoff for Balmain Tigers. And what the Australians realised was the English are far better than us skill wise. And we need to change our philosophy. So rather than the British learning us what to do, we need to do it our way. We need to have our own sort of philosophy. So they went and studied over there, and we all know what they're doing from. They got bigger, they got stronger, they got quicker. And I say we're studying from there, and we saw that from the 82 Kangaroo. And since then, all we have been trying to do is catch up. And what I want to do now is go back to the British way, where we want to play with a bit more variation. We don't want to play robotic. We want players to express themselves, and I want to do it the British way. And let's have the influence of it all being British, and that's me. And I would put a 10-year plan. I would put a 10-year plan in from a point of view, if we're looking with Great Britain coming back, and in that 10 years, we would regain the Ashes and we would be world champions. That would be my philosophy.
Very good. David said, when Scotty's finished with that jumper, can I have it to polish the car this weekend? He said, best rugby show on the radio, by the way, easy peasy, he said.
hold on, people on the pop of your T-shirt. That T-shirt, it's free for three of them for 50 pence. Do
what's
me a
favour. I've got a limited budget for clothing. What's your problem? You're picking on me now, eh?
No, but what's wrong with my jumper? It's a quality jumper, this.
Yeah, it probably was in 1963.
We were bought by mother-in-law, you can tell, can't you? She don't like me.
Get her on the list, Richard. She's on our list.
She not only bought me once, she bought me five.
I'm trying to think of ideas of what we could do. Maybe I don't know, have all the full-time professional teams in one competition. Not necessarily if there's more than 12 or whatever, we can have two conferences of six. We can be like the Pro 14 have done and get some South Africans in as well. They love it. stop making us laugh.
The thing about, you know, if this was an over 18 show, yeah, some of these comments on Facebook would be brilliant.
What are they all about me?
We can't use them.
Are they all about me?
Well, some of them might be.
Look, you
probably 99.8% of them.
You two, you're like two Cheshire cats, honestly.
Let's
be serious.
It's
We're
funny,
a serious
actually.
Show.
I'd say probably 1 in 100 tweets is about rugby league now. This is where it's gone. Honestly, we open up the list. We say to the listener, let's talk about what you want. They go off topic. They're easily led. They're like us. They're easily led. We need to talk about rugby. There's like four massive games this weekend.
I can't believe from a point of view, yeah, we're an intelligent show, we're intelligent pundits.
Who told you
we're
that?
Intelligent listeners. And all of a sudden, everybody's going ballistic because the legend likes peas on toast.
Brilliant.
We should say
it's amazing.
Big game on Sunday at the John Charles Centre because Hunslet ended London Scholars' long winning streak this week, and they meet again. Much like Cass and Hull are going to meet again every single week now until the end of the season. Hunslet meet London Scholars this week for the League One Shield.
I know.
Which is like the Championship Shield, but
at
in League
Hunslet
One.
At Hunslet as
yeah.
well. At Hunslet.
So if London had won yesterday, it would have been in London or drawn yesterday.
I know.
But because Hunslet got the win, the Myrtle and Flame, so we shall and all that, we will rise again. I can't remember what it is.
So we shall.
We could end the season.
So get your sin down there, Ulster fans.
We could end the season with a team from Leeds having silverware and it not be the Rhinos. So we're all behind you.
I'll tell you what, though, all those moaning about the old championship, Newcastle could be in there as well. They've forced their way. They beat York 26-24 yesterday to secure the final place. All right, they've got to beat Barrow this week. But you took into that. The championship next year, you could have Barrow, Whitehaven, York, or Newcastle, or you will have.
Well, that's
a
very very northern centric top four, isn't it? And Toronto, I think, is in the north somewhere. So League One, we're all looking forward to it, and obviously the Championship Shield semi-finals this week. To lose Dewsbury and Batley Sheffield, winners of that meet off for everyone's favourite piece of silverware the week after.
The Championship Shield.
I'm hoping that's...
Did that not go bus with Bradford?
We don't know where it is.
It's been melted down.
It's in cash converters.
It's been salted away.
Bradford cash converters window is in to combine it now.
It's gone with all my winners' medals.
It's not quite the challenge. It's not quite the Challenge Cup in Fattorini's, is it?
It's gone where all my winners' medals are.
I mean, we've got to hope that Dewsbury win this week, because then the final will at least be over over here, because I think if Toulouse win, it'll be there, won't it? So good luck to all four teams in the Championship Shield, and hopefully that's another piece of silverware.
It is indeed.
Back to Yorkshire. And then we've got that massive game, Widnes and Catlands.
It is a huge game.
The £500,000
game. It'd have been brilliant last week if Hull KR had hung on to win and London had beaten Widnes. You would have had four teams. One would have gone up, £200 million game, and one going down. That would have been what an end to the season. It's not going to be. We know which three could be in jeopardy: Widnes, Catalan, and Lee, all to play for. The big one. A lot of people are worried about Hull at Cass on Friday.
Do you know what, Mark? As well, we were there, weren't we? And the Radders.
Hull weren't great, were they? they weren't great because Wakefield didn't let them be great.
I agree totally, but Radders, his main concern is, and I think it has been for a couple of weeks, his halfbacks. They're not firing at the moment. Sneen and Kelly, they're not firing, so he's a little bit worried, his Radders. And the great thing about Lee, he's open and honest, isn't he? And when we was in the presser again there on Thursday night, just open and honest about it, and he just said, the halfbacks tonight were rubbish. The combination wasn't working, it needs to get better. And it does. It's as simple as that from there. Yeah, the forwards are doing a good job, and the Warrior himself at Gareth Ellis, his last game there, came up with a big play when he scored that try. But Radders at this moment in time is worried about the halfback pairing. It's just not the combination at this moment in time. He's not firing. He's not in the game long enough, isn't Albert Kelly? He just goes missing for me for too long. He needs more involvement.
Rick has just been on, who's at Halifax, said Sunday's press food, peas on toast. I'll tell you what, Rick, right, if it is peas on toast, Scully will be wearing mine. So you better come in that jumper, because it'll be covered in peas when you go home.
Well, I'll be travelling down for a Whitehaven, so I've had a few sherbets. So I don't think peas on toast will be the sort of repercussion what I'm looking for. Maybe steak and chips. Steak, chips and peas will do for me, please. Medium to rare.
Part-time team, you can't bankrupt them with your food.
Ian dance. Crowd. Ian, if you're listening, hopefully you listen to the show. Ian, steak, chips and peas for the legend, please. And a bit of French sauce.
Well, we've
mustard.
What would we be if we ran the RFL? What would we do if we ran Salford? Tyler says, I'd change the sign outside that says Salford City Reds, because that's a bit out of date now. Tyler says, if you were Dr. Marwan Kukash, what would you do with Salford? Sell them.
Give them away, just a hole in your pocket.
They almost need to move, don't they, because of the stadium location more than
it's just at this morning time. I think everybody's getting a little bit fed up about with Salford from a point of view where it just seems to be going stale, doesn't it? It just all seems to be at this moment in time negative news about the place, and it's just going stale.
It's such a good first half to the season.
I agree. I agree totally from there. And when you mentioned about the performance against Leeds on Friday night, just showing no ambition whatsoever, and going for the first 2 points and then just kicking it out and walking to scrums. What sort of game is that to them? And also the 14-under that turned up a week ago. I'm afraid to say it's just going stale. It is.
Neither team had anything to play for on Friday, but one team played rugby league and the other didn't. Yeah, and that sounds
that's fair
negative,
point.
But they were
fair point.
Right, people sending us A, recipes for peas, and B, transfer rumours, which are great. I don't think we can read either.
All right, well, go on, give us these.
Callum says apparently Matty Smith's off to Wakefield.
Ooh, not heard
so,
that.
So
one.
Callum, thanks.
Matty
Smith and Liam Finn. Would that be the slowest half-back partnership ever?
That's it. Me and you's quicker. Michael, please don't let that happen. Chris, please don't let that happen. Matty Smith's no good for you. No good whatsoever.
Craig's asks us which finalist would be good for the game. One assumes the grand final. Isn't the answer Castleford versus Hull? Because it's new, and not the same old.
Well, the same.
Yeah. How concerned the lads that Cass will choke in the semi and not make it to Old Trafford after such a fantastic season?
Not concerned they'll choke, more concerned that St Helens will get in, having served up some of the dross that I've seen them play this year. I know you say they're in the top four, they deserve to get in, but boy, I have seen them 7 times this year and I have not been entertained once. They've been rubbish.
I agree.
Absolute rubbish.
I agree.
Dan's hit the nail on the head then, has he? He says, I'm a Saints fan. What do you think of the standard of Super League, considering Saints have a great chance of finishing third? Could they make another grand final?
Of course they could. One can rule them out. I mean, they've been on the upward curve ever since Scully said their season was all over when they lost at Cass. That's another prediction you've absolutely smashed there, haven't you?
I'm trying to work out if Sean's a Saints fan because he wants the Matty Smith news to be true or not.
Wakefield should, honestly, they cannot be serious of signing Matty Smith. No way, man. Michael Carter, if you are listening, do not let that happen. That is a backward step if you are signing.
There's a queue of 500 St Helens fans outside waiting to go pick him up and drop him off the way.
Oh, Michael, please don't let that happen. He's nowhere near good enough for Wakefield.
All right, it's only a rumour, Scotty.
I couldn't care less if it's a rumour or not. Let's end this rumour.
Yeah, but it's not worth getting excited about.
I'm not excited. I'm disappointed if that Wakefield had been connected with Matty Smith.
At least the Saints fans aren't booing him like they are with some of their other.
Yes, John Wilkin getting booed. What do you reckon to that legend?
Yeah, it's. Well.
Someone say you've whipped up that frenzy.
But at the end of the day, and I'll repeat myself, and I'm only going to say it once again, once for the last time this season, John Wilkin as a second rower is a quality second rower. When he plays as a second rower, he adds value to that St Helens side, running hard and straight and direct, looking to bust the line, and he's got a good pair of hands when he goes through there. But now, when John Wilkin decides that he wants to be an organiser, he wants to be a ball player and a tactical kicker, he brings nothing to St Helens. He's absolutely clueless and he's rubbish when he's doing that. He brings nothing to St Helens. Why Justin Holbrook lets him do that, I don't really know, to be honest with you, from there. And so now the St Helens fans have had enough. Quite simply, they've had enough from there. So, John, just be the player that you are. He's a quality second rower. Hard and straight and direct. And then when you bust the line, you've got a good pair of hands on you. Centres will support you in Percival and the other kid who plays, whoever's in the other centre with him there. And on the wings, there's Makinson, Regan Grace. But as far as being an organiser and a tactical player and a bloke who could try and organise and get him around the field, just not good enough, John. And St Helens fans are booing and they're showing their frustration. Fair play to the Saints fans.
Not according to some people. You shouldn't boo players. Because John Wilkie's nice.
Hey, listen, mate. Right, I'm still getting abuse from Hull fans 30 years after I got salt. Booed.
Were you getting booed while you were playing for them? I guess that's the difference. Apparently, it's all right to boo people who are on the other team. Because it doesn't matter about them. They're rubbish. But you're
No, not really. But listen, the St Helens fans have had enough. They've absolutely had enough. And, at the end of the day, John's got to realise this. He's got to realise his role as a player. And his role as a player is a quality second rower, not as an organiser or a halfback. He's too slow. His passing's terrible. It's shocking. It is. And as I say, and his tactical kicking. Well, I can now... Can you remember the kick what he put in at Hull and Kieran Cunningham? That was the final straw for Kieran. Well, just the final straw. He got the sack. You know, but he's just not got that in his game. And the St Helens fans have had enough. And I don't have any qualms about that. I don't, honestly.
So if you want to boo Gary Schofield, Friday night, Castleman versus Hull, live on Radio Yorkshire, be there about 6:30 in the buffet, waiting outside.
Well, to be honest, I think at Wembley, when me and Lee Crooks got showed a picture, the Hull fans booed. Mm. I don't think they were booing Crooks. I think it was all me. But yeah, so I'm still getting stick from the Hull fans 30 years on. But that's part of the job. It's part of sport.
I think the thing is, though, you must be the thickest skinned person involved in professional sport.
So people at home, the radio broke up. You must be the thickest what?
Well, I like going. Yeah. But listen, it comes with the territory, and at the end of the day. That's it. I can't repeat what my daughter said to some Hull fan because as we was walking, we come out of the Hilton. We just had a couple of drinks in the Hilton before we went to Wembley, and we're walking through there, and Gareth Carvel and Kurt Dixon were having some photographs taken with some Hull fans, and some Hull fan says, "Oh, Scully's here, we don't want your photograph." And my daughter just went, "Don't worry, you're not getting it." So she gave a little
bit... predictions.
She gave a little bit bad, did the girl, my daughter, Danielle. But anyway, predictions. Starting when?
Salford St Helens.
There's only one win there. Salford season's gone. The wheels are not only punctured, the wheels are only just blown off. Their season's finished. St Helens, ambition of the top four. I'm going St Helens by 24.
36.
Oof. Wow.
Wow.
Wow. To the 1,300 Salford fans that were thinking of going. I won't bother.
Just watch the telly.
Just stay at home.
What about yourself?
St Helens by 26. Castleford Hull.
Oh, interesting one. Interesting. Castleford, they want to keep the momentum going, plenty of confidence, found an absolute diamond in young Truman. He'll certainly be out there again on Friday night. Hull, they're desperate to win. They need to win to finish in the top four. Boy, oh boy, but I'm going for a Cass win. He'll want revenge, will Powley? I'm going for Cass by 10.
Hull should have won that game at the Jungle earlier in the season when Cass nearly threw away a big lead, as they have been almost doing in the last few weeks. I still think Cass will win, but narrowly, Cass by 4.
I'm just worried about the Cass team, but I thought he'd rest a load this week. So Cass showed, didn't they, on Sunday, some performance. Hull not impressive against Wakefield. Mm. Lucky to win. Got to go Cass. Huddersfield Leeds in the most important... just quickly. Well, the way Huddersfield have played the last 2 weeks, how many do Leeds win by?
Yeah, but Huddersfield seem to like playing Leeds, don't they? So there's nothing to play in that. They'll throw the ball around a little bit, but Leeds, they just want the confidence booster for the week after. I'm going Leeds by 14.
Yeah, Leeds by 18.
Yeah, Leeds by... I'm going to go by 20, because I think Huddersfield
Sean Ryan Wilson going for Leeds.
Wakefield Wigan, the match that might matter, it might not
the
matter.
The match that might be a dead rubber, or it might be the one where both teams can maybe qualify. But do you know what? I think Wakefield are going to put a show on for us. I do. They're going to put a show on for us. I'm going for Wakefield. If Wigan know that they can't get to the top four, they'll be sulking. Wakefield don't want a celebration. I'm going Wakefield by 14.
Sorry, Wakefield by 24.
Wakefield by 7. Catalan witness.
Hold on, 7? They couldn't even kick a drop goal from 10 metres out. Why are you going for a drop goal when there's no on the game?
There's no TV cameras we
Move
can
on.
Do. Oh, no, there's TV cameras.
Hold on.
Move on, come on, you've got 1 minute left.
Who we got?
If you were listening, you'd know. Catalan witness.
Catalan witness, plenty of confidence. Catalans, dreadful. Don't want to play for the jersey. I'm going witness by 10.
Draw.
Which would put witness in Super League. I'm going Catalan in that one. So look, what else? That's it, isn't
Halifax
it? Halifax Featherstone.
This could be a game of touch and pass. Two teams would like to throw the ball about a little bit. Could be a game of touch and pass. Looking forward to my steak, chips and peas. Halifax to win by 12.
Facts.
And the big one, Hunslet London Scholars.
I'm a Bilal lad, Hunslet lad. He's got to be Hunslet. Getting some silverware, right?
And so we shall again. Local legend.
The green and orange. Maitland flame.
Indeed. Right, that is it. Us done for another week. Good luck to all the teams involved that have got seasons on the line. Good luck to those who've got dreams of winning. Good luck to you as well. If you've sent us a tweet or a Facebook message, you might be, or you will be in the hat to win 4 tickets for that Castleford semi-final. Please download, like, subscribe the podcast at audioboom.com. Thousands of you listening to that every week. We do appreciate each and every one of you that takes the time to do that. But the more the merrier, and the more that, Scully might get paid to buy his peas for his peas on toast. That's it. That's as far as we go. Friday night, we're live at the Jungle. Cass Hull, live on Radio Yorkshire. And on Sunday, it's all about Halifax and Featherstone. We'll be there. We'll see you again soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Rich. Thanks to Scoy. Thanks to every one of you who's got in touch with us tonight. It's been Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.